This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, everyone. It is 7 o'clock, judging by the atomic clock on the wall. This is Q Talk America. You're in Studio C live right now. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Kat Carlson, Al Perkins, and of course, Marnie Ryer is somewhere.
The empty chair.
Somewhere across the valley. That little Subaru just zipping across the valley somewhere. We think. I don't know. I haven't heard from her. We assume she's coming. We're not sure. Already want to say hello to Dawn, Anant, Aaron, all in the chat room already. Hi, everybody. I think my mom is listening. Hello, Mama Di. And to all the ships at sea, welcome, welcome on this St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I did the math a couple of weeks ago and realized it was St. Patrick's Day and then did nothing about it.
But isn't that, but that's a dark, dark green.
Sure, let's say that.
Sure.
What would you call it?
I don't really know. I call it like a slate, but
gray. I think it's just
uber gay when it comes to colors.
I think it's, oh, okay. I just think it was, oh, would you like your mic to be on? Oh, how about that?
Is this thing on?
Someone's being punished.
No.
I don't want to say who, but her mic's down.
I don't want to sit in timeout anymore.
Oh, I need to I know what I did. I relabeled things and then I screwed myself up. I tried to get all organized and shit, and then I, you know,
screwed up. And then did it wrong.
Yes. Anywho, it's all good. We are all back together. There's wine and snacks. Kat made a pit stop at apparently it's called a grocery store where you can buy things of
this wonderful paradise full of edible
this
items.
Wonderful paradise.
You boys should try it.
I hope someone locks the door securely during an apocalypse so the food is there when we need it.
Yes.
Marnie brought food.
Oh, hey. My God. Oh. I have a feeling that that's not just food. I have a feeling that that's cake and it's fat filled.
Delicious sweet stuff.
I have a feeling it's my first time ever making corned beef and cabbage.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
This.
So I hope you don't mind.
No, I do not mind at all, but this.
I mind, damn it.
It might be more. It might be interesting about 10:30, but in here.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, there is that. Marn Rye is in the house with her. Of course, her lucky shirt.
That's right.
Her twins hat was got the green on it. Make yourself at home, Marn. That's all good. Very nice.
There's no green on your shoes. I don't want to criticize.
But I had my boxers do.
Oh, all right. All right. Her Spanx are green.
Yeah, I got everything else green.
You're wearing Spanx?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm like,
what in the hell is going on with that? See,
no.
I believe Al in so many ways that I don't ever think that he's joshing me. I think he's being real.
Genuine
all the,
at all times.
All the time, yeah. But apparently I find out, no, not so much. Very good.
Perhaps he was being a bit jovial.
Did you have a bell? I've been going crazy for. I'm like.
Sorry, I thought being gone a week, I figured that you had forgotten. I had taken it 5 minutes after I walked out the door, but I had taken it that 2 weeks ago.
Remember, she said I need to. Well, you borrowed the bell a couple times. Once was for your mom.
Right. And so I said that I would pick up a friend from the airport with bells and whistles. And he said, well, you better have bells and whistles. So I showed up with bells and whistles.
Oh, okay.
That's fun.
I don't remember.
And not at all annoying for the other people.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't ring it a ton. Just to say, look, I have them.
This coming from the person who said when we originally got the bells that this will never work for
It'll
the show.
It'll never be okay.
And it's been something we just beat the shit out of every
it's a
week.
Terrible
last
idea.
Week when I was sick, he's like, oh, where's that Mercedes with the bell? Because I wasn't here for a
moment. Whatever name, yes.
Yeah, whatever you fucking care.
No, it just didn't matter. I'm just like, I was telling Kat, you know, I got an extra bell when she joined, and now we've lost a cast member, so we should actually have a bell surplus. And I was.
We were That's bell true. Deficient.
Yes.
And concerned.
Yes.
But well, hello, Jenny, in the chat room.
Hello, Jenny.
My heavens.
Hello.
Nero is there as well. Harrison.
Harrison, Aaron.
Oh, Harrison, what is Harrison? Is your she's going for a walk as well? I guess is that what?
I guess it's been a little hotter in the LA area than it's been here because it's been perfectly pleasant. Today was just
amazing.
Slightly warmer, but I was also not sitting in front of I was behind the door, so
sure
behind the green door. Was that in a porno movie or something?
Sounds like a behind the green door.
I'm not sure where we're going.
I feel like
all this.
Yeah,
lurks a man in his
just,
Netflix.
I was not sitting somewhere. I was trying to like stay awake and like sit up like a human being.
Oh, so like you do, sure.
So I was sitting on the couch that's not in front of the open door that wasn't getting the gentle breeze. So it was a little stuffy in my corner, the sit-up corner. Act alive! is what the voices in my head were saying.
Why did you choose to start that today?
Huh?
You haven't done it for years.
I know. It's a long story. It's a new leaf. It's a new me.
Oh.
Behind the door.
By the green door.
It's a new life. It's a new love.
And Nero and Anant and Jenny and oh my goodness.
You were there and you were there and you were there. Everybody's in there. It's all good. Oh my heavens. And then
so busy.
The different country. Well, somebody from is it Anant?
Anant.
From Israel. Got
no.
it.
Or Anant. No, it's from India.
India.
Oh, there's an I. Who's is from Israel?
That's a new one. I don't think
we've... somebody is listening, been listening for 4.5 hours. Apparently they had nothing else to do today.
I am not aware of an Israeli, but good luck with your elections.
Apparently, oh, yes. Well, Netanyahu already declared a victory.
Yeah, but you don't really win that way. There's just a fun system.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a multi-party system, so you make a coalition. Like, getting the most votes is a good start.
Okay. Mm.
And then the president, who's kind of an honorary title, picks which person of the top couple gets to make an alliance with all of the other parties. And I think there's like 11 parties until you can get 61 seats in their parliament.
So it's like Survivor.
Right. It really is. You have to make alliances, and there's far left and far right. And so it's all
I've
very...
seen this on TV before.
I think it sounds like Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's
At
really interesting.
At what point do we have a tribal council in
and they have they have like 28 days to do it, and then if they fail to get an alliance and the other person gets a chance to like get the 61 votes, and then you're the party in power, and of course your leader becomes the prime minister, and then there's the opposition party... So it's very exciting.
I hear Benny and the Dutch, though, declared. I'm with Clayton. I read that.
Right. That he got the most votes. So he'll most likely he'll get the first chance to make his coalition. But there's very extremist parties. And like the Arab, they're called the Arab League or the Arab something or other. They got the third most votes. And they usually sit out of it. But they may stay in and throw their votes one way or the other to they're calling them the kingmaker now as the third party with a little bit of extra power.
Okay.
That they might throw their votes behind the more left-leaning people.
I want to let Jenny know that Al is a wealth of damn near everything, really.
Yeah, it's a fascinating political system.
Occasionally we do fact-check him, and he checks himself and finds out that he's terribly wrong.
I was just going to say, what he doesn't know, he makes up.
This one I got, though.
Okay. Very nice.
But I do appreciate that.
Yeah. So once again, welcome everybody. Kat, we'll start with you. What's up?
Goodness gracious. I feel like every week just goes by so quickly. I know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, just
wait till you get older. It goes by faster.
That scares the
Jesus out of me.
For us, it went past way faster.
Right. Once I get to y'all's ages.
Shit.
Yeah.
I don't know how to ask. No, it's been a whole lot of work, and the in-laws have made their final departure for the summer.
I thought they were already gone.
Well, here's what happened.
Oh!
This just in.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Now, regular listeners might remember that they were here all goddamn winter.
Yes!
They left for a moment.
Yep.
Came back, bought a condo.
Kind of a Whitney Houston thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
One moment in time.
Sure.
Yep. I feel it.
Sure. So yeah, they came back for like a moment.
Okay.
Bought a house, stayed in it for 2 weeks.
Right.
And then the last 2 days of their trip apparently had to stay at my house again.
Oh.
What of?
Yeah, yeah.
But like
it was
you
nice.
Do?
It was delightful. Mm-hmm. So they have finally departed for the for
doors
the summer.
Closed and locked behind them.
Yep, closed and locked.
Bolted.
Let me just get to them.
So what?
I said to her father, I said, are you gonna stay gone this time? And he laughed and gave me a big hug and said, yeah.
Yeah, gotta go.
I'll see you in October.
I don't know who you are, little man, but I'm going to leave this house. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's kind of what he said.
So what becomes of this condo? They're going to be gone all summer, so it's just going to sit idle and nobody's going to do any renovation or anything, and they're just going to come back and miraculously live in this new thing?
Well, they're snowbirding, and so clearly since their daughter lives in town, we will be... in charge of checking in on it.
Christ. So they've straddled you with more shit to do.
Well, wait a minute now.
Now, where is it located?
No,
where is it located is in that? Relation to you? Right.
It's in Anthem.
Oh, my God.
We're in Scottsdale. So,
okay, well, wait. So if you want a weekend getaway, or if I do.
It's like a staycation.
It would be like a staycation. You can go. Right. You have the outlet mall there, which is actually not too bad, because not too many
is
people go
there. Is that
like
near New River?
Yeah. Yes. It's right before New River.
Other side of New River.
Yeah. It's kind of a quaint little thing.
Now, isn't that where Danny's parents are? They're like,
all right,
old people paradise.
I'll let them know
for the weekend.
Could be. I honestly don't recall.
Remember, KD's dream is to live. Remember, her parents live in that fabulous place with the
the
pool with the waiters, and They go up there for their end, and they're supposed to be, it's the old person home. Isn't it an anthem?
Perhaps.
A planned community.
Yeah, well, that would be a planned community.
Is it a Del Webb community? Because those are all in Surprise.
Surprise! You're still in Arizona.
Yeah. With old people and golf carts.
Anthem is the one that, like,
where the llamas run free.
Every year, you're in a whole paid-for society. Isn't it Anthem's the one that has, like, the child care and, like, everything is part of the master plan?
Oh, you're talking about that's...
it's Anthem.
You're talking about
Anthem. I know what you're talking about.
Are
you talking about the weird culty community thing?
No. Well, you said culty community.
Well, I did say culty community. No, there's a weird culty community up that direction. Starts with an A that was supposed to be all inclusive.
It's
like a
commune. Pretty sure I saw it on Dateline.
Amish?
Where the fuck is Molly Montgomery when we need her?
I know. Molly, are you there? Molly.
She moved into the cult and now can't make phone calls.
They cut her off from all social media.
It'll come to me later.
All internet access. Yeah, just
but no, it's. I actually haven't been yet.
Oh, it's called Asylum.
Right. No.
I'm looking for A words.
Could be.
Asshole
doesn't sound like a community you'd live in.
Sounds like the community. Sounds
like a destination though. Not a.
Oh, good Lord.
Anywho,
other than that, it's been really just work. I did a guest spot at Stacy's again this Sunday, and
I enjoyed seeing you there.
I enjoyed being seen there. It's very nice.
You like to be seen.
I do like to be seen.
I know you do.
No.
I like it.
Thank you for seeing me.
I do. I see you.
Yeah. And then, yesterday I got up and thought I was going to be productive until 2 o'clock hit, and there I was, just face down on my couch, snoring.
Oh. No.
Done.
Just gone.
Not productive.
Surprise attack of the sleepies. Happens.
Yes. Surprise attack of the, you're no longer conscious today. Good night.
Guess what? You wasted the whole day thinking you were going to be productive.
Sure
Sorry.
Did. Sure did. But I did get to binge watch an entire season of, the entire Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which is very fun.
Funny
shit. Very fun.
Yes.
Yeah, I loved it. I watched the whole thing in like 2 days.
I saw an episode and a half, and it was just time to call it a week.
Yeah.
And I had to stop. Yeah. But very, very funny.
Yeah, muscles, I don't.
And Atticus Andromedas, or Andromeda.
What is it? Titus Andromedas.
Titus Andromedas.
He is hilarious.
Fucking kills me.
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you? Are you from? I'm from Indiana. Say no more. Say no more.
Thank you,
Derek.
He's fantastic.
Hi, and then, oh my God, when they start doing the Lion King in the middle of Times Square, almost shit my pants. With him dressed as Iron Man.
It stays just that ridiculous and just that fun. Just watch the whole thing. Like, Tina Fey can't do no. And then Tina Fey appears.
I appreciate that.
I was wondering. And Jane Krakowski just. I know she's now playing a type and she just has that, but she has it so down pat.
Mm-hmm.
She opens up a refrigerator and what does she do? What's the water that she's pushing?
There's water and there's diet water.
But it's a brand and like she just, and it's kind of like it's product placement because she opens it up and that's all that's in this refrigerator is the water and she holds it out and she hands it out to Kimmy and she's like, do you want one? And she's like, no, thank you. And she just throws it in the garbage.
It's already out of the fridge. It's ruined.
It's ruined.
Oh, so much fun. So, yeah, that's my whole exciting week. Woo.
And then, well, your girl had her birthday was just the other day, right?
She did, yeah.
Happy birthday.
I didn't go. Yeah, happy birthday, Sharon. I didn't go.
But there was a picture of you doing a brunch thing I saw.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that counts.
Eating food counts.
Well, yeah, but it was on her birthday.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was in honor of her birthday.
I don't know. You posted a picture of the two of you together at some brunch thing. I assume that was participating in her birthday. I just guessing.
We'll go with that. Sure.
Okay. Got it.
Like it.
None of that. That's true.
Well, Marnie.
Yeah.
Now you haven't been with us for a couple weeks.
Weeks. Yeah.
Now last Wednesday, it was drawn to my attention because I saw it on Facebook.
Somebody called out sick.
You called out. You said you were ill, and that's fine. And but you miraculously you were in Fountain Hills the next day with taking
Friday
pictures.
I was.
Oh, it seemed like it was the next day.
It might have, but Friday I was. I was out from. And I did not just call in sick.
Not that it means a goddamn thing.
I'm
here,
just
we're
letting
fine.
You know. I would let
Karen,
you know.
Karen, you called in sick today.
What?
Right.
Achoo.
Yeah.
No, the week before all the nuptials that took place for Brendan and Robin, I was feeling it. Like, I was like, oh, here we go. I can't, you know. Come Sunday night, I was out and voice was going and everything else. And then Monday was the first day of Aaron's spring break. And we went to a Cubs game. and plowed our way through that. And then I went home and just slept basically till Thursday.
Wow.
I mean, I was just out. And I just think it was a combination of everything, you know, where you're just like everything kind of comes together and you're like, okay, now I'm done. So,
it definitely was seasonal allergies week here in Arizona.
It was.
Because it got warm and sunny in one day.
Everything decided to bloom all at once.
And everyone is saying, many people, I should say, that oh, it's probably just allergies. Well, I think before that it was something else.
Well, plus there's something that has been going around where I work. And I mean, everybody's had a little.
It felt like in here, I just it was awful. But then I think it was allergies after that. I just started popping these little red pills and was like, okay, I feel better. Like allergy.
What are the red ones do?
Yeah.
they made me feel mucho better.
Well, you're in the Matrix. Remember these open Bennies?
That's right.
Remember those days?
No.
That's right.
Anybody old enough to remember Bennies? Yeah.
Oh, I said the red pills in the Matrix are the ones that open your mind and unplug you from the Matrix.
That was not what happened, but.
Are you sure?
Damn it.
Boiled.
Damn it, Neo.
Are you sure?
Thanks, Jenny. But, you know, really, I was done. But this the week otherwise, fantastic. We had a really great wedding for Brenda and Robin. It was fantastic.
Oh,
and
very nice.
Saturday.
It was successful. They sealed the deal.
Well, after 35 years, you'd hope so. And
that still blows my mind.
And their niece, who was also a part of the wedding, kept saying, Robin, there's still time to back out. And because I had to sign and send
optimist.
Sure, yeah. Just don't do it. Don't do it. And so I have pictures of me actually sending the wedding certificate, their license in. So that
exciting.
But it was fun. It looked like Pinterest threw up all over my backyard. It was gorgeous in the backyard. We had the reception.
Pinterest is a dangerous game. It's a dangerous game.
I still don't
everywhere.
Understand it. I haven't.
Like, I don't know what it is.
It was like little Neverland in the backyard. It just was beautiful. Sweet. Absolutely beautiful. So
there were orphan boys all over your
backyard? Well, just a lot of midgets, really. But it was... we didn't really feed
anybody. Was Roger there?
He was.
Was he?
He was. He had he gets out there when
there's
a
DJ. When I
say
Roger, I don't mean Roger from American Dad. Not that Roger. Her nephew. For those listening, not here in the studio.
Actually,
but
Robin's brother. It's Robin's brother.
Uh-huh. Oh, Robin's brother.
Right. But he is just, oh, God. Nant, I am. He is so funny. You get Roger has Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. And is the life of the party. And there was a
very
DJ.
very happy kid. He was.
Oh my God! Well, and he got out there. He just dances. And if you're, he was tapping every gentleman on the shoulder who was dancing with a pretty girl or anyone, and he would tap them on the shoulder and then be like, "Go away." I'm being very polite, and then he would thank them.
Now it's time to leave.
And then he would dance with the pretty girls, and he'd just smile. God, he's funny. Oh, just watching him was wonderful. Yeah,
I haven't seen him in several years. The last time was I forget
think what, my mom's birthday.
It may have been your
it?
Mom's birthday. Right. Yeah.
So 7 years ago.
But, Jesus.
Yeah.
Time does fly.
Mm-hmm. But otherwise, aside from being sick and just the wedding was just phenomenal. It couldn't have gone better. I learned something about Apple products, though, that I'd like to throw out to anyone and everyone.
To see if the rest
the
of us
Kool-Aid
already
drinkers,
know.
Just
right.
in case.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I finished the ceremony and what I was going to say and everything else on my phone. Right. Okay. I finished everything and it was lovely. And then, but I almost always use my iPad when I'm standing up there so that it's bigger and whatnot. If you do not plug your phone in to the Wi-Fi while you have it in the same place as this, Evernote, it doesn't
sync.
Oh yeah,
so
eventually
I'm
they
standing
have...
up there with my iPad, and I'm like, and the one time I left my phone in the car because I didn't need it,
right?
And I'm like, it's not here. There's nothing here. And I said, well, it's a good thing I've known him over 20 years, so we can punt. But it was people scurried and
did
and
you
whatnot.
Did you start out with that
dearly beloved?
Yeah, we are gathered here today to get to this thing called life.
No, actually, I was going to. I did that for Robin and Brenda.
If I get married, I want that.
And Brenda got it. Robin did not, and was like, "God, that's really good." And about a week later, she heard it on the radio, and she went, "Damn it, I didn't realize it was Prince."
Didn't you do that in Cisco?
Uh-huh, yeah. I did. It was very funny.
I think that is funny.
It was. It was wonderful. So, and Johnny, do you remember Johnny Simkus?
Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny was who we flew in. He sang at their first wedding, their first union ceremony.
Okay.
And he has a gorgeous voice. He's very operatic, he's amazing. And so we had him kind of hidden, and I said, we're missing something when we were doing the rehearsal. And so we started the music, and I was like, Aaron, can you just press play? I want to hear something. And Johnny was standing where you couldn't see him, and he started singing. And Brendan and Robin had just been talking about him. Like, oh, if only Johnny could be here and it would bring it all together. And so the song started, and they're like, oh, my God, how did you get a recording? I said, I got a recording. Look at me. And here all of a sudden he comes walking out of nowhere singing to them. And it was just the five lovely. Of us, and we all were just, it was wonderful. So it brought it all together, and it was just an absolutely beautiful day. Yeah, so well, I'm done. Sorry about that.
For at least
guys,
two more minutes, I'm going to believe in love.
Sorry. It really was.
Possibly
I mean,
less.
Was,
that's going to be a wonderful 2 minutes.
Yeah,
and if I could add to 30 seconds of it, please, because I think this is such a really fantastic, and if I can get her vows, I would love to be able to read next week what Robin said.
Been together a long time.
Still here.
What's the problem?
Thanks for the beer in the truck. I'll stay with you. All right, go.
Robin is, of the two, Robin is very quiet, very shy. She sits back, kind of watches everything.
Very much so. Right?
And so when it came to the vows, Brenda, who's boisterous and kind of out there and whatnot, Brenda said her vows, and they were lovely. And then Robin turned around, because they have been together 35 years, and they have not been accepted by everyone in the family. Even the people that were there, some of them that were there, and we give points, obviously, for that. I mean, thank you for being there. But you don't accept me at all, or even believe in this. So Robin turned around, and certainly wasn't yelling, but with this loud, very prominent voice, just said, with all the love in the world, screw you, basically. And it was the most beautiful vows. I know that I'm saying that wrong by saying it
that way.
You're
not doing it justice.
I'm not at all. Because she was just...
All the love in the world?
With all the love in the world, I'm saying that. But almost said screw you.
Good.
To everybody.
Good for
her. Because her vows were so on point. And they were so... here's what our love is about. And for everyone that's here that doesn't agree with it, you don't have to. And you also don't have to be in our lives. And we're okay with that.
Yeah.
We love, but it was
here's your hat, where's your hurry?
Yes. Yeah. And it wasn't mean. It wasn't anything. But it was so brilliant. And coming from the person who doesn't really speak.
Voice at all, right?
And doesn't really
voice
They're
always the ones you got to keep your eye on.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
They're always harboring something.
It was wonderful.
Fugitives.
It really was, though. So just that extra second, I apologize, you guys.
Oh, my God. I'll never get that time back.
I'm just saying. So, but if I can...
Two and a half more hours are coming back either.
It made me think of thoughtful vulgarity. Just times that we've talked about, different things and people accepting and all of that. I have just never... I was absolutely, they turned back around and I was bawling and I'm like,
sweet.
God damn it. Now you're man and wife, you're boy and girl, you're gay, you're the lesbians, you're married.
You're the lesbians.
What am I supposed to say? I'm crying.
Who are you people?
No.
Yeah. So it really was wonderful. Yeah. So anyway, done. Love.
And they've always been terrific friends of the show.
Oh, they are.
Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin, yes.
Batman and Robin. And then we all went to the Olive Garden and Red Lobster for the reception. Per Buddy Early.
And one Coors Light.
Correct. That we all opened with our teeth.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. God, I can't even think about that.
Oh, I know.
And tipped a quarter on.
Yeah, exactly.
If they made half a quarter, I would give you that.
If at all.
That's called one bit.
If they had 12
you,
and a half cents.
You keep that.
Yeah.
Buy something pretty. Jesus Christ.
Not all in one place there.
Oh, my God.
You know, I actually had an old woman do that to me once, slide me the quarter.
Shut
and
up.
Like winked at me and was
and
like, that's
it.
For you. I was like.
You can't even buy Chiclets with this shit, Grandma. Come on.
You see that candy machine over there? It takes 50 cents.
You know what it takes to
buy in Lucy's, get you a shot. What are you trying to do, lady?
Get me another beer.
Tell me enough to buy a pack.
You can't even make a goddamn phone call for a quarter. If there is a payphone in somewhere in...
Oh, there is. In the weirdest spot. Remember by the zombie apocalypse fries?
Yes.
That's now something else. So
LA Fitness?
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, Blast.
Blast Fitness.
Blast Fitness.
Whatever.
Your gym.
Yeah, so they... Yeah, obviously.
Can't
so
they, you can't remember the
they
name
They may not be open. And then they put... So the people couldn't just wander like zombies. They put up individual parking barricades, whatever they're, you know, those little cement things
yep.
yeah.
that I've been known to fall asleep on. Right across there in the middle of that field, you know, to the west of that parking lot where the zombies are, is just an open field.
Yes, yes.
There's a phone booth.
Shush.
Attached to a light pole all alone.
And for
if
drug
you
deals.
If you stood well, there duh. And photographed it right, it just looks like it's in the middle of nowhere. Like Sarah Palin.
Like Sarah was just gonna say
Sarah Palin could carry a suitcase there and look like even the middle of nowhere I'm
we
still
should
dumb.
Go stage that to be just one you can't call us. Not on this phone.
Not on this phone. Crazy, 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 crazy.
Oh, that's good stuff. Well, I'm glad that you're back in good health. Al struggled through. We almost lost him a couple times from coughing last week.
Near-death experiences.
But you sound like you've recovered nicely.
Yeah, they went right back to working a billion hours, so it was fun. I did a because I didn't drink. Oh, no, I did drink last week. I didn't drink, but we finished up fast. And they just put a note out that they needed somebody to help in the morning, so I ended up working like Monday night extra.
Day shift,
I worked a Wednesday day shift, and then I worked all weekend, and then they asked me to come in on Sunday, so I did, and then they were like, can you stay for part of Monday, since you're already here, and do like a half day?
Is that the one where you posted about the restraining orders we're going to follow?
That was Wednesday, because I'm like, as soon as the court's open, people are going to be suing me. But I stayed pretty friendly. I went full tard at about 5:30 in the afternoon,
because
I was like, well, this isn't bad, and it was it's weird to be on a normal body clock, so like, I had breakfast. Then about 1 o'clock, I was like, you know, I'm a little peckish. I need something. And then at 5 o'clock, I just seriously could not find my way out of a paper bag. I was like, And the guy that I was working with was like, sit down, you're making me look bad. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just walking back and forth to stay awake. But he's like, you look really busy. I'm like, I'm not. I don't even know where I am.
If you master
right
that,
now.
You're good, though.
You know, there is an art to walking with purpose, looking like you're busy.
And he really honestly thought I was doing something. I mean, I spent 30 minutes looking. We're on the 11th floor, and I usually work at night. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you catch the sunset and the sunrise, but you're usually busy. So to have like a 30-minute period where I was like, I was just staring out the 11th floor window, and I'm like, it's really pretty out here. And I was like, and then I'm like, oh, I've been here for a long time. Somebody's going to notice that I'm missing. And then, but I worked till, I don't know, like 11 o'clock in the morning. I worked from 7 o'clock. Sunday night till like 11 o'clock yesterday morning, and it was hard work. There was no staring out the window. It was a good 16 hours or 17 hours, however the fuck long that was. It was a long time. Things like 16 hours. I was beat. I got home, watched one episode of Kimmy, tried to watch the second one, and I couldn't hear them talking over my snoring. I realized I was like still had my eyes open but snoring. Oh my god. And then today I was like, oh, I'm gonna get up early, I'm gonna get stuff done. I get the notice that they're delivering my wine.
Oh, good.
Is being delivered today.
It's like Christmas.
But you have to sign for it because it's alcohol, so you can't leave. So I had to stay around the house because that's like herding cats to get UPS to deliver liquor.
Right.
It was a pain in the ass. They came at 6:25.
Uh-uh.
I was so pissed off.
You could have done so
but
many
they try to fuckers. Make it so somebody's home. They don't try to deliver like in a time when people would normally be working. So I think me and the wine well, shipments have to break up.
Let me tell you how you remedy that.
Yeah, have it sent here.
Oh. No, well, that wasn't the option I was going to give you.
Is that fair?
No, there is the thing called My UPS. You sign up, create an account just for that. So anytime something is coming to that address, you get a notification. But you can also specify certain things you can have where you don't have to sign for it. I'm not sure if that would be the case with the liquor.
You have to sign.
But you can also specify windows of time.
Yeah.
So maybe if you're a person who's only home in the morning, you specify your shipments have to be in the morning, and it doesn't show up at 6:25 at night.
Oh, that's all I have to do.
Yeah.
No. You can also, I forget what you have to sign up for with UPS, but then it like alerts you when things are like scheduled to be shipped to your house, and then you can like close the window a little bit, or you can move it, and you can waive your obligation to sign for it. There's like this whole online form, because I've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I had a phone shipped to me, and I was like, it'll be fine. Let it sit on the front fucking porch. I don't care. And I waived my right to...
Yeah, and the liquor thing is odd, though.
Sure.
Well, you're right, and that may be an exception.
Because you could be a child.
But if you can at least narrow that time window down to, like, they're going to be here between 10 and 2 as opposed to sometime today.
Yeah.
That would be better for you.
But it's fine, and it's, you know, it's four lovely wines, and it's kind of for the Doug's 50th birthday is in the next...
You just said that out loud.
No, it's next week. I think
you said that out loud.
Well, it'll be Sunday.
Still listening?
It's like 5 days from now. Uh-huh. Anyways, Doug's 50th birthday is on the horizon, and his favorite wine is the one that I had shipped. So
gotcha.
Oh, that's nice.
We're going to Palm Springs for Easter to see Dame Edna's farewell tour.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And on his birthday, so I got a couple of bottles of wine to bring with us, and Luckily, there was a lot of champagne left over from the Oscars. Shockingly.
Yeah.
But did you decide to not drink all of it? Huh?
Drunk.
No, we didn't come close to drinking all of it.
Well, what I'm saying is, didn't last year you decided to just drink all of it? I'm pretty sure.
I don't believe
no, no, it was two years ago.
Was it two years ago?
But that was 2 years
ago. Okay. I mean, there's always like a bottle or so left, but this year
it goes slower for young folks like me.
Yeah. Oh, no. That one was the not... Well, the drinking was a problem. The not eating was the bigger problem.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because mama's got to eat. If she drinks, she got to eat. Like, sure. You can't have one without the other. Yeah. Absolutely. So that was it. What did you do?
Got into a little bit of spring cleaning, moving stuff, throwing stuff away, getting things. You know, I told you, I'm going to go through every fucking drawer and thing in this house and just purge stuff and get out of here. So start on that. That's why the back room of my house is, you can walk through it with ease and there's all kinds of room. So I did that. Did installation just today. We have a new restaurant that's opening in just a couple weeks called Corduroy here in town, which is a sister restaurant to some other ones that we have, like the Fez, Switch, Rebar, that whole family. They're opening a new one called Corduroy.
I'll wear my finest ones.
And zip, zip, zip.
Don't
zip,
need to be corduroy.
I hope to God the staff is not forced to wear corduroy.
I hope to God that they are.
Oh, God. Tim would have fit in so well. Tim was the corduroy king of Niagara Falls for many years. And I said, now you said it, and I went to, remember we were watching Miley Cyrus sing 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover?
Mm-hmm.
And I told you that I always think he says, no need to be corduroy.
Mm-hmm. No need to be coy, Roy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because even now I'm like, I went back to him, like, I don't know what the real lyric is, but I know that that's wrong.
But there really is no need to be corduroy. Yes, there is no need.
And I tried to tell Tim that for years.
They're warm, they're durable, they're stylish.
Well, nah. I mean, if you're...
They come in four different shades of brown.
If you're too big and you're walking...
They're stylish if it's 1974.
They're coming back.
I mean, they caused a friction down there that is not soon to be forgotten.
Corduroy's coming back. It'll start a fire.
You don't need to wax or shave. Just wear corduroy and watch it burn off.
You need to get better Spanx, honey. That's...
Better space.
Just get green ones.
Yeah, just get green ones.
There you go.
So did that, and then the other thing that was, it's always nice to get some validation, and I shared this with a couple of you already. I have a friend who works in the media industry, and he said to me, he says, hey, you do the show out of your house. I want to see the studio, la, 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 la. And he goes, and I have a friend named Tim that you might know that wants to see it too. And I'm like, okay. So we talked and talked. Well, last Sunday, 1:30, they stopped by. And it was an honor, and it was very cool to not only to show off the studio, which is just a humble studio, but they were completely impressed with what these are people who worked in radio.
And that's about me in it.
Yeah. Tim.
Can you imagine?
Tim Hattrick from Tim and Willa used to be on KNIX here in the Valley. And then they did a Chicago stint, also did an online show for quite a while. But it was very cool to have him. And I told Tim, sit right in your chair, and we sat in here for like an hour and talked about all kinds of different opportunities and things that
you
they're
had the chance
working
to record
with.
It. Did you do it?
No, there was no recording. There was no need for that. But he looks at me at one point. And he goes, "Hey, can you pop me up on this mic?" And he goes, "I haven't heard my voice in headphones in a while." So he put on your headphones, and we just sat here and talked with headphones.
Did you wipe them off after?
No, I left them on. No. It's all good. But anyway, it was very cool to have those guys come by and see it and just be. They were impressed. I'm like, well, it's a one car garage converted. It's what this is. But it was very cool to. And they're like, they also thought we were quite funny. We talked about going to a broadcast on actual airwaves, but we're gonna have to do some cleanup.
Do you mean our language?
Yeah, we can't just call people cunts every 5 minutes. Like,
but
we
what
don't.
If? What if it's?
How about every 10 minutes?
Yeah, I'm willing to go to 15. I'm really willing to.
I'm willing to go to 15 as long as anytime Michelle Bachmann, Jan Brewer, Sarah Palin, anybody like that comes up.
No, we'll have to be on a hell of a delay. But anyway, what they're working on?
It's a hell of a delay at sea, sir.
Well played.
It is a like hell it. Of a delay at sea. That's like funny it. Stuff. Anyway, welcome back again, Marty. Welcome back. I think you're. Are you
Thank
ready
you.
To go with me, darling? You think
I'm
we can
gonna,
pull
I'm
this off?
Do as good well as I can. Yeah, I'm
you
ready.
You think so?
I think so.
All right. Well, let's see what we do, and hopefully we won't cross over each other's
we'll
stuff.
See.
But
if we do, we go. I have others.
All right. We'll make it. It'll all work out. Here we go, boys and girls. Headlines on Q Talk America. Woo! Stories that. Mostly are true. Actually, all of mine are true this week. Yeah. Nothing's bullshit. No, it's all bullshit.
this whole show.
As bullshit goes. No hide and seek, but would you like some meatballs?
I'm a bigot.
Shots fired over a beer argument.
I'm gonna walk into that car.
Shacking up is still a crime in 3 states.
This ain't coke.
77-year-old Sunbather asked to wear trunks.
Piss and fire.
And a man spray paints his face black to escape police. Epic fail. Coming up, these and other things we'll cross-talk about. Coming up right now on Q-Talk America on St. Patrick's Day.
Hey. Ow.
Oh, my heaven's sakes. Well, IKEA asks that people stop playing hide-and-seek in their stores.
That's very funny.
I'm already devastated.
IKEA, 32,000 people actually signed up to play an in-store hide-and-seek game. Now, IKEA, if you've not been, and it's an interesting store to go through, if you've not been to one, please make a make a day trip.
Well, not everyone has one in their region.
No, that's true. They don't.
We are a lucky, lucky city.
We are. Because the closest one used to be San Diego. Oh, no, Palm Springs.
San Diego.
And then, well, there was one in San Diego. But yeah, so we here in the
Swedish fucking nightmare.
In the greater Phoenix area, we have an IKEA out on I-10. Anyway, usually a fun place to go, but the Swedish furniture store, better known for meatballs, ball pits for kids, and unpronounceable dressers, as well as other items, has taken a stand against irreverence by banning massive games of hide-and-seek within their Dutch-based stores.
I don't know why I found that sentence funny.
And by massive, we mean 32,000 people signed up for a Facebook event in Eindhoven, 19,000 in Amsterdam, and 12,000 in Utrecht. It's hard to control, IKEA group spokesperson Martina Smedberg says. We need to make sure people are safe in our stores, and that's kind of hard to do if you don't know where they are.
We've got some real good hiders here.
Yeah. Well, last summer, hundreds played the game in a Belgian IKEA location, but right now, IKEA is trying to ramp down people.
Oh, we got to organize one now.
Hiding.
I feel like we need one in, what city is that? Is that in Gilbert?
Tempe.
Tempe. It's out of I-10.
My only experience in an IKEA was such a fucking nightmare. I've never gone back, but.
Oh, I've gone several times.
That's why Aaron and I just take booze.
I was totally.
You take wine, like wine in here. It's just.
A little to-go.
Totally mean-spirited hungover in San Diego, and I got trapped in that rat maze that you can't get out of.
You can't.
And I was like, get me the fuck out of this store. And I was like, it was like being in It's a Small World or Space Mountain. Oh. You got to ride the whole fucking ride to get off.
Well, if you play your cards right, there are.
I was trying to fake a heart attack. I was in hell.
There are doors that you can cut through and bypass the entire line of having to go by every
item they
own.
But you
got
to know what you're doing. You got to research ahead of time. Right. Like,
and go with a friend that's already been there, for God's sake.
And I had no idea what I had got myself into. And I was like, I was so hungover, and there was so close to being a dead body in every exhibit.
Exhibit.
Poor baby.
It's called displays.
And then when I found out you got to build the shit yourself, I'm like, then why did I just walk through a warehouse? No. You're going to ship me a box?
And not even going to ship it to you. You go downstairs and you go down the aisles and pick up the box, and you take the box of unassembled merchandise home.
They don't even pick them out for you.
There was nothing about that experience that said, Al, you need to go back to that. Like, never again.
What if we went and got drunk and played hide and seek?
Now I'm back on board. Now you've made it interesting.
I do enjoy the lunch there, though. I have the Swedish meatballs. It's good. It's a good time.
I may or may not be organizing this on Facebook.
Do go right ahead. I go with Michelangelo. He and I go because he knows it by the back of his hand. I don't know if it's a youth thing, and they just grew up more with it. They understand it because I'm like, no. What is it?
Money.
You're trying to tuck. Sounds like, what is it, charades? Cat Carlson, ladies and gentlemen.
What are you asking?
My mouth is full of cheese and crackers, but I was trying to say it's a youth thing because it's a money thing because it's inexpensive furniture.
Oh, it's hugely inexpensive, yeah. Yeah.
But, there's grocery Marco Polo, so I can only imagine that IKEA hide-and-seek would be just as entertaining.
I think so.
And if I had been in the IKEA drunk, it might have been a different experience than a brightly lit fucking warehouse with industrial
lighting. Multi-level warehouse.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And I know that Harrison wasn't the one that brought me there, even though I was in San Diego. It was some other fool. Not that Harrison's a fool, but that's kind of like give me olive mix. Like, that dog don't hunt. And whoever it was just thought I was going to have the best fucking time.
Well.
And I was like, oh.
Did they just meet you?
No, and that's why I have erased them from my memory. Seriously. They have been deleted from the friend bank.
Wow. They no longer exist.
All right, we'll toss it to Ryer.
Well, and I've decided to change some of my stories, just because I can do that. Mm-hmm. So, well, the Coke and a Smile story, we're going to keep. Because, really, if you're going to steal things, maybe don't make it cremains and think it's cocaine.
I feel like I should write this.
Somebody's snorting grandma?
Well, they almost snorted dad, I believe. Some idiot kids from St. Peter's, Missouri were arrested recently after burglarizing a home last November. Amongst their pilfered loot, they ran away with an Xbox 360, prescription drugs, jewelry, and the ashes of a dead guy. The cremains of the homeowner's father that were stored...
Cremains.
I didn't know that was a thing.
They are. Stored in a wooden box were thought by the 15, 16, and 17-year-olds to be cocaine.
These are some stupid...
No shit!
Stupid children.
Either the kids have never seen cocaine before, or whoever runs the crematorium in their town is making a mint.
How old were the kids again?
15, 16, and 17.
Oh, come on, at least one of you has seen Scarface.
No.
Should've. Well, not, the kids no. realized during that their getaway that they had stolen the last remaining evidence of this man's body. It's unclear how much of the deceased found his way into the teenager's sinus cavity.
Oh, my God.
Before the kids got wise and asked themselves, what would a dumbass do?
Well, return dad.
They threw the ashes out the window of the moving car.
Yeah.
Well, now he's all over that small town.
Yeah, well...
They've spread his ashes.
See, they've done a great service.
For those that might not remember...
It could be worse. I could have taken him to IKEA.
It's real similar to what Lorena...
left him in an armoire.
Took him into harsh lighting.
Just put him in the bottom drawer of the flugel dresser.
The flugel.
And write down number X5432 and go find it.
Throw a meatball in there so Grandpa doesn't get hungry in the dresser.
The boys would have gotten away with it, too, if it not had been for those meddling kids. Lorena Bobbitt did something similar. Mm-hmm. You know, if you remember with John Bobbitt's wee-wee.
It wasn't an ash full of dick.
No, they were able to put that back together. All right. They were... they would have gotten away with it if one of the kids hadn't gone online with the Xbox, and then the cops were able to track them down.
No, of course.
And find them through an IP address.
And one of them posted a picture. Is this cocaine?
Is this cocaine? Look, I'm Snort Papa. That's what we call it now.
Oh, my God.
Snort 15 and 16.
Snort Papa.
I'll Snort Papa.
I'm writing that one down.
The 15
Papa,
and
can
16...
you blow me? No,
Papa,
it's not.
Can you breathe?
That's wrong.
The 15 and 16
Papa, get me high now.
Were referred to juvenile authorities, and the 17-year-old was charged with burglary and theft of two counts. None of them were busted with possession of narcotics, though. So, right. You know, that's the good news for them last time.
I would have liked to have seen, you know how on Forensic Files and different shows, they show the interrogation room footage where they're getting the explanation, and the person finally, after 17 hours of berating, comes clean about what they did. What I'd like to have seen is the investigators. Okay, what did you do with the... You took a box. Remember the box? Yeah, we took a box. Yeah, so what'd you do with that box? And what did you think you were stealing? And then when they come to the... When they explain, well, we just dumped it out. Oh! Oh. And then
murder. Look at murder.
Of course it was murder.
No,
it's
Papa was
murder.
Dead.
That's right.
It's a dry heat.
I saved and blew Papa.
Papa died on Tuesday.
We snorted him on Wednesday.
The poor family, though.
Got
they're
hamburgers
like,
on Thursday.
I shit him out on Friday.
Dad's somewhere on Main Street between 3rd and 7th Streets.
It was really his favorite stretch of road.
Everybody, go get a broom. Get Daddy.
Scoop him up.
For real. Oh. The fact that they just like threw it out the window, though, it's like...
Now it's got twigs and berries in it.
Yeah, well, he may have it. Let it go. So.
We might have to sift dad before we put him back together.
Oh, that's a piece of glass.
Just pick up the obvious remains.
Damn cigarette butts.
Oh, my God. Well.
Fine, sir.
Okay. Well, an argument between a 64-year-old man who wanted a Budweiser and his friend who handed him a Bush beer instead.
Oh. Those are fuck you words.
It ended horribly when the disgruntled beer recipient shot the other man in the arm, wounding him in a Louisiana parking lot. The incident, which occurred on March 7th of this very year in the New Orleans suburb of Harvey, resulted in Clarence Sturdivant shooting his neighbor, Walter Merrick, who, by the way, was 66, or is 66, shot him in the arm when Merrick, sustaining wounds that were not life-threatening, said Colonel John Fortuno, spokesman of the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office. Witnesses told police that the incident, which began with Sturdivant and Merrick arguing over the respective merits of the beer brands... Oh my, it just went crazy and escalated out of control when Merrick pointed a gun at Sturdivant, who was holding a Budweiser, then firing a shotgun in self-defense back at Fortuno.
Like you do.
Sturtevant was not charged in the incident, but was arrested on an unspecified, unrelated charge. Fortuno said that while Merrick was cited for aggravated assault, Fortuno said police did not recover any weapons. So what in the hell? That was my favorite line. They didn't recover any weapons. What? Did just you threw the guns in the lake after Seriously. You were, I don't know what happened.
With the cremains.
Mix it well. Mix it well.
Goddamn guns.
I still have not hit a cronut.
Well.
Now that we're talking about pop-up.
I feel like we should fix that.
How do...
It's a croissant and a donut.
Well, because I was saying amazing. The last time I heard like craisin, cremains, cronut. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know that I've ever heard all three of them together.
Well, now you have.
Well, there you have welcome it. That's true. Yeah.
Welcome to it.
So we'll get some craisins.
Been missing ya.
Where's daddy?
I don't know. Well,
he went on a little road trip.
Hello. I wonder if the same thing like that little girl in the car, you know, where they heard she was the little girl who was in the river with her mom and all the firemen.
The disembodied
say that they
voice.
Could hear like, help me. Maybe that'll happen with the dad, too. I'm over here.
What you just said in regards to the thing, again, they asked him what they did with the ashes. If it was a smart aleck kid, he'd go, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
My dad is blowing in the wind.
And it's part of a nasty sinus infection that Chuck has.
He was in the back seat.
Well, as you do, you don't want to blow up your own house.
No.
That sounds
so
dumb.
So you create a meth lab in a Walmart bathroom in Muncie, Indiana.
Muncie, Indiana made the news. Okay.
I'm just thinking, isn't every Walmart bathroom just a meth lab?
Well, in a lot of ways. It could be considered that, you know, because...
I understand the assignment correctly. Yes.
Well, because people that are... People that are making these methamphetamine labs, it's deadly explosive chemicals in public places, and they return later to finish the project so that they don't blow their own house up, apparently. Which, I mean, smart, sure. I suppose. Good thinking, to a degree.
I watched all of Breaking Bad. I feel like this is a good idea.
And I have not seen Breaking Bad.
I'm into it.
But I've understood.
I have this expertise, and I approve this message.
You approve this message.
The Kent Carlson Memorial Meth Lab.
My name is Dr. Ben Carlson, and I approve this message.
Apparently, an employee saw someone who, an employee of Walmart, alerted police after seeing a man he described as suspicious. At Walmart?
At
really?
Walmart?
Really? Come on. At 11:30 at night? Get out of Dodge.
Potentially toothless, nervous, and itching a lot.
Yeah. Twitching.
That's their entire
ne'er-do-well walked in with a backpack to the bathroom. Walked out without a backpack.
May have been a manager.
Now that's a new situation at Walmart. Usually
correct.
You walk in with the empty one,
right?
walk out with luggage.
Yeah. Stuff. That's correct. Tyler Armstrong, 25, of Muncie, was arrested then instead of at the Walmart at the Taco Bell on South Madison Street. He tried to resist arrest, but was subdued and taken into custody.
He tried to resist, but he was so enthralled with it, he just surrendered.
He's like, okay.
I have tried to resist arrest for so long.
I can't any longer.
Now,
when will our eyes meet?
When can I touch you?
When will this strong yearning end?
When will you arrest me again?
That was our Barry Manilow moment of the night, for those of you caring.
It was very nice.
Continue on.
So the Indiana State Police said they discovered this meth lab, and the tools used to cook up the dangerous and highly addictive drug were found in the backpack that was left sitting in the men's room. The discovery was originally made by this cash register who saw this unsightly...
The cash register?
The person at the cash register.
Cashier, perhaps?
Yeah, whatever.
I'm like, are you on meth? You thought the cash... and the crime was solved by the cash register.
Shut up!
Bloop, 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 bloop. What the fuck is it saying? Meth! Where is it, Lassie?
Wait.
Is Timmy in the well?
This Jerry comes from Indiana. Say no more. Say no more.
Yes, we need sound bites from that show because he is just...
He is hysterical.
Oh, my God.
Say no more.
I don't know a lot about meth.
Yeah, well, myself either.
But
that's why I can't pronounce cash register.
What I'm
person.
What I'm always taken by
dark
with
time. Dark time.
With a meth story is, Why would you ever think that boiling down or heating up something, you wouldn't drink Clorox or lighter fluid or cleaning supply? You never. Why makes you think that boiling it down in a spoon makes it tolerable and actually? I don't get it.
Yeah, because they're putting. I mean, truly putting in everything under the kitchen sink.
Yeah,
everything, and it's just
that's
not
why it made
crazy.
So much sense on Breaking Bad, because he was a chemist, sure. So he knew how to make the good shit.
He did the best kind.
Oh, okay. 99%
He was a high school. Yeah, because he was a high school chemistry teacher.
So it was. He was purer than.
He was a brilliant chemist who missed his shot to be a bazillionaire chemist and was merely a high school chemistry teacher.
Blah, blah, blah. We got to the same point, right?
The synopsis, according to Kat Carlson. Thank you very much.
Jesus. Story ended on the same sentence, didn't it?
Fuck this job.
Papa's dead. Exactly. Grandpa's dead. We can't find here. Same story.
To Clayton's point, according to police, the corrosive acid had eaten through the bottom of the backpack and had leaked out onto the floor. So far, there have been no reports of illnesses because of this, but
it's dangerous. On Breaking Bad, they had to wear
for the employees that they keep locked under the bathroom. None of them were armed.
For those that are snorting the bathroom floor, you don't know. What if you slip and fall on that corrosive acid? I burned my ass.
Looks like Woody Woodpecker.
I was in a Walmart bathroom and my ass got burned. I don't think you're going to tell that story.
I feel like maybe no.
Well,
you'll wait for a holiday.
Needless to say.
Oh, I can beat that story. Yeah. Listen to this.
Break that out over Easter.
Yeah.
He has risen indeed.
Look at this red puffed up son bitch.
Nails in the hands. I got you beat, Jesus.
Get off the cross. I
got
a
Walmart bathroom acid on my
ass burn I got going on. Oh, son of a bitch.
Portions of Tonight sponsored by Drano. Thank you very much.
And Sudafed.
I'm eating Jesus eggs right now, so yeah, good. I feel he and I are very close.
I nibbled on the Jesus eggs over the course of the week.
They're good times.
Yeah.
Would
you like a Jesus
now.
Egg?
I don't. Nope, I already had three. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
He had three? That might be something to talk to Mary about.
When are we doing the corned beef and cabbage or whatever?
Should we do it right after we get done with this?
Oh, yeah. We can do that. Yeah, because nobody listens to Al's.
Fucking segment before you start making food.
Oh, all of a sudden you're like, calm down the food. Yeah, but she wants it during entertainment for sure. Well, shacking up is a crime in Florida. Yeah. And it gives a new meaning to the term partnering crime. But if you're not married and you live with a lover, you are committing a second degree misdemeanor in Florida. Only one of three states with a cohabitation law still on the books.
So the Golden Girls were completely
illegal. Completely.
Holy shit.
But they weren't proved to be.
It wasn't just the shoulder pads, yeah.
Yeah. According to a 2010 census, Florida has about 549,000 couples living in this technically illegal manner among its 7.4 million households. Now, under the law passed in 1868, nothing like being on top of things.
Yeah.
This living arrangement could mean a fine of $500 or 60 days in jail. Now, my question is, if you like the person you're in jail with, aren't you cohabitating again?
Yeah, see?
It's like a cycle. Among all the other important things that Florida people are going to deal with, here is what Florida lawmakers will grapple with this year. Three times in the last 5 years, legislators have unsuccessfully tried to repeal the law. Now, on Monday, however, lawmakers made it very clear that they are no longer shaken up by the idea of shacking up. I feel like a Bette Midler line.
If you're cracking up from having lack of shacking up. Why don't you pack it up and find yourself a crazy kind of love? Oh, wait, like a nougat's got me. Come on, I want to lay you.
Yeah.
Killing me.
Oh, my God. Oh my well, God. The repeal bill easily won approval on both House and Senate committees. Quote, is there anything in the bill that would make this apply retroactively? Asked Senator Jeff Brands, who's a Republican. He says, by the way, I'm asking for a friend. Representative,
when I was in college, I cohabitated with another boy.
Representative Rick Stark, who's a Democrat from Weston, who is co-sponsoring the House bill, said that he had lived with his wife for about a year before they got married.
Sinners.
He said the, quote, antiquated law is rarely, if ever, enforced by police, but it has been used in other ways. It has been used for harassment, Stark said. If somebody is going to get a job that requires them to swear to uphold the law, somebody else can come along and say, hey, you're not upholding the law. You're illegally living with somebody. And it's been done before. In 2012, Hollandale Beach City Commissioner Keith London faced such a problem when he was accused of breaking the law during a mayoral campaign. The state's attorney office declined to investigate it, however. Representative Dennis Baxley, Republican from Ocala, Florida. Is it Ocala?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Yep. Ocala, Florida, opposed the repeal in 2011 by saying, quote, "I am not ready to give up on monogamy and a cultural statement that marriage still matters." After his, what, 70th divorce?
Yeah, fuck you.
But even he voted for it this time because, unlike previous bills, this one limits the repeal just to unmarried couples living together rather than repealing other parts of law that prohibit adultery. Yes, adultery is also illegal.
Is it? I just thought it was a commandment.
One of the people said that in Scripture, God's first institution was marriage, not cohabitation.
Oh.
Also, Michigan, Mississippi, and Florida are the three states that have those cohabitation laws. Seven other states have repealed laws similar since 2000. And North Carolina saw its cohabitation law overturned by its state Supreme Court back in 06. So, yeah, only three states.
How did it make it to 06? Like, how did it make
started
it to the 70s?
Started in 1898.
Yeah, but how did it make it through the 70s?
I don't know. Crazy.
They stopped enforcing ridiculous shit like that.
Yeah.
There's entire websites dedicated to stupid laws that are still on the books.
Oh, there is, right.
South Carolina kept the airline bottle of liquor industry in business because that only stopped being a law like in the last 5 or 6 years.
Utah did it too up until the Olympics.
That they still served a bottle?
Yeah, if you ordered a rum and Coke, they had to open up an individual airline-sized bottle of rum, pour it in, a single shot, and that way you could not overpour because it was not available.
Utah was the same way. That's I remember going out ridiculous. To dinner with my folks and my mom being served like a margarita and tequila on the side.
Wow.
Yeah, tequila on the side.
And
they changed their liquor laws specifically for the Olympics.
Oh,
like,
I can't
believe
that.
Olympics bid. And we're like, okay, we got to change some things here because...
Because remember, FIFA did that to the World Cup people where they were like, okay, no beer in the stadium, sings it crazy. Right, and FIFA's like, oh, fuck you, we're getting beer in the stadium. Right.
We're going to bring the Faluva horns and
then,
beer.
And then they wondered, why is there all this violence? Because you brought the beer in the stadiums.
Like how the Super Bowl opened up, you know, downtown in the open containers all over that. What was that, like 4 square blocks?
Yep.
Yeah,
and Nero has provided the stupid laws link.
Hey,
very good. Thank you, Nero.
Some of them, I mean, and this goes to just the idea of stupid, but not alcohol and things like that. But in Iowa, where the tall corn grows, where... anyway.
Deep in the heart of Iowa.
Oh, no, that's their song. Iowa. Anyway. They had a thing on the books in my mom's town of massive Eagle Grove, Iowa, that... No one black could stay in that town. They had it on the books, like you could not stay overnight.
Just
and
passing
I don't know,
through?
This is a big trucker route. There's umpthin' trucking. There's all kinds of stuff right in Eagle Grove. And black people could not stay there.
No dark times allowed.
No dark times.
But I mean, truly, they had, and it
an
was
intentional
it,
racism.
You could not. And then a
turns
black
out the
family,
SAE National Campus.
Right. Black family decided to move there. I'm not sure why. And so that was on the books until 2003
unbeknownst to them, this law was lurking.
Correct.
Right.
But 2003 or 4, for the love of God, to have anything like that.
Well, hasn't Mississippi still not ratified the equal protection, the one in the last amendment? Isn't it Mississippi that's never...
Oh, there is that,
it's like
there?
That would Alabama sense, or Mississippi but... still has not gotten around to doing that. Like,
really?
Only 49 states have ratified that.
Oh, fucking ridiculous.
I know, you only need 2/3, and they all became ceremonial.
Ceremonious.
But they just didn't get on board.
Something.
The cashier did it. The cash register did it.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
It was during dark times.
Well,
apparently they didn't want any dark time down there.
I'm glad the dark times are back.
And now the end is near.
We call it dark time.
In honor of St. Patrick's Day,
hey,
let's talk about some gay St. Patrick shit.
Welcome Boston. Yeah. Finally did
welcome
done right.
Boston, absolutely. And New York, what the fuck?
Still no?
See, NBC, I don't understand the what the fuck.
The NBC part, because they allowed one group, one gay group could march in the parade.
You can't let all the fucking homos in?
Because we'll take over and make it better.
It's Manhattan.
Right. We're going to segregate.
All of a sudden, we don't need the parade in June because we've taken over the one in March.
That's correct. But de Blasio still would not walk in it, and city council still boycotting because the unit... let it go. Yeah. That will,
I'm going to hold that unit as long as I can.
Out at NBC Universal, which is a corporate group for gay employees at
of NBC
Universal.
Who broadcast the parade.
Who have a rainbow peacock as their mascot.
They were able, like cities such as Boston and Washington, had gay groups in their St. Patrick's Day parade this year. But the New York one said, well, just you guys. Just you guys. So I guess people are pretty up in arms.
Who was the one group that the...
NBC Universal. The out
not the
people.
Not the gay vets?
No.
Oh, because the gay vets was the big deal in
Boston.
They were in
Boston,
right,
yeah.
Right. And so, but just so that everyone can feel better about it, gay people and gay groups can apply for the 2016 parade. So, good. At least we have that.
But apply. We're not saying you're going to get it.
You cannot get in. You may not get in.
There's an audition process. You got to make a quiche.
Well, and organizers of the New York
you
parade.
You got to do your own version of the Lion King, if Disney allows it.
They had long refused. New York parade had long refused entry to gay groups based on the Roman Catholic opposition to homosexuality. The parade is steeped in Catholic tradition.
Even the Pope's not on board with
Cardinal
that.
Cardinal Timothy Dolan is this year's Grand Marshal.
He's the religiotard of all time. Yeah,
and I'm going to even do the religiotard thing. You're right. The church, while not revising its doctrine, has become more welcoming under Pope Francis.
Frankie.
Under.
He's our boy. Yeah, get under.
That's right.
Get it, Frankie.
So,
and for once, we don't mean that about little boys.
I know, right. Exactly. Yeah. For once, we mean that just as is. Take it at face value.
Institutional rapists are casting aspersions. Is that the right word? I don't even know.
Sounds like a good word.
What the hell is aspersions? I'm going to look it up.
So
it's the town with the A really that has the
shoots right out of you.
No, that's Arco Santi.
Oh,
are you thinking of Arco Santi?
No, it turns out Anthem was a planned community, but they gave it up. It was a Del Webb planned community but they still had like the daycare and all that shit. They just didn't go whole hog on it.
That was a flashback.
I can't continue.
Anyway, that was all. it just was an interesting piece because here New York is like, yes, gays can be in the parade, but just this many.
I love that they went with the NBC Universal. Now, who is still against gay vets besides John McCain? But really, he's just screaming, get off my lawn,
New York,
I want to invade Safeway.
But at the same time, does anybody know how many other groups they turn away from the parade? Like, does everybody that applies get into the parade? Like, is it like the Phoenix parades? You know what I mean? Like, are there other groups that are turned away?
There are a couple other groups that get denied from both.
Like the Nazis.
There's a couple of really offensive groups that get denied.
Right? I mean,
but the Boston one, it was the first time the Boston mayor has marched since like 94 or 95, which I didn't realize that we'd had that kind of solidarity for that long.
No.
But they had two groups. They had the gay vets, and then did they just have a regular out and proud gay people?
It was Boston Pride.
The Boston Pride
Boston
group.
Pride.
So that was pretty all-inclusive. Right. Like, you didn't have to work for NBC Universal to get in. But
And D.C. has always been inclusive, and I didn't realize that. I thought that was fantastic.
Gayest town in the entire city and the entire country.
But it's the idea that they've always been inclusive. I mean, nothing's happened.
I just love that they win elections like 91-6, and then the other 3% are like write-in candidates for Titus Andromedas.
All right, we are doing the sweep into hour two. We're coming right back at you. I actually have a leprechaun story, courtesy of Tim Hattrick, who told me just this past Saturday, that ties right into your story about gays and such in parades. I'll share that because he didn't tell me I couldn't. We're going to continue on to the headlines. Al's going to give us a drinking word in just minutes, and then we'll have entertainment and other stuff. Stick around. Don't you want me, baby? I don't know. Fuck it.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening again, everybody. It is top of hour two. This is Studio C. I'm Clayton McKee, along with Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. We join you each and every Tuesday night for three fun-filled hours of love and tenderness. Well, one of those things are usually involved.
Keep your hands off me.
Stop it, Al.
We are in the middle of our headlines segment, but before we get into any other frivolity, we've got to take care of a little business, and it usually starts like this in the middle of the beginning of hour two. So please stand by.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Blarney!
No.
I thought for sure, I thought you were going to do something similar to that is what I thought you would do for this.
I was going
to
go with Brigadoon, but I can't remember if that's in Ireland or not.
Blarney?
I thought that was a ship.
No, the Brigadoon is the musical where they get lost in the magical place and they do stupid shit.
Magically right. Delicious. Don't know. Blarney's our drinking word.
Blarney.
All right. Well, I will share.
In my mind, that means bullshit, but I don't know what I was trying to Google what it means.
Before we,
I thought that's what it meant. Yeah.
Before we carry on with our headline segment, which I have,
but I'm hoping they don't go and kiss the bullshit stone. My sister kissed that thing or touched it.
Stone?
What do you lick it? What do you do with that thing?
You have to like
or
hang upside
down
to kiss
the Blarney
kiss the
stone. You got to kiss it there. Sorry. You puck it up and give it a big old smack right on the kisser.
Can I just shake its hand? I mean, we got to be there.
You can do a fist bump for it. You a fist bump
Does
for
it? Does it smell like potatoes?
I don't know. There's no famine involved.
Sometimes I don't kiss people I actually love. Do I have to kiss the rock?
There's that.
Sometimes I've kissed
the
rock. What are the rules here?
So the St. Patrick's Day story that Tim Hedrick told on Saturday was that him and Willie were doing, they were part of the St. Patrick's Day parade in Chicago. Green River, the whole thing, yada, yada, yada.
That's crazy.
But again, in Chicago, this was, I forget how many years ago.
They're fucking nuts.
They had a ban on the gays marching in the parade. Okay. So they had put out a call for, they just had decided they wanted a leprechaun on their float.
And should have made it leprechaun.
Don't we all?
And a girl called in to them and said that she'd be willing to do it, but she was a lesbian. And really, she was against doing it overall because... The gays weren't permitted to march in the parade. So she said, I'll do it with one stipulation. As long as I can bring and wave a gay flag on the float, that's fine. They're like, do it. We're good. We're totally fine. So she shows up and she's in the leprechaun outfit. They called her a lesbicon. And his determination was that he thinks, and I remember my friend back home, mm-hmm. Duke is a little guy.
Yep.
He's like, I think they're just more dense packed than other people because even though they're smaller, they weigh just as much as full-size people. He thinks all of that is just squashed down and they're the same weight as they would be if they were like 5 and 6
just
feet tall.
Push it down.
It just gets more densely packed in the thing.
Sure.
But the fact that he said that they had the girl on the float, she was their official lesbicon and she had her own gay flag.
That is fantastic.
I thought that was a great story.
I love that.
Yes, indeed. All right. So our final story in headlines. Do you guys remember a few months back, I told a story about a guy in Utah who was sunbathing nude in his yard and there were no privacy like things in it was a chain link fence and new neighbors had moved in and he got busted. Well,
now there's a guy who's doing it at his front door.
No. The 77-year-old Utah man charged with lewdness after sunbathing nude in his backyard agreed to a plea deal on Tuesday, just today, that keeps his record clean as long as he wears a swimsuit from now on.
Oh.
Myron Lee Kipp pleaded guilty to 2 misdemeanor charges in Farmington, but under the terms of the deal with prosecutors, the pleas won't be recorded if Kipp stays covered for the next year. He will still sunbathe, but he'll wear his one-piece swimsuit, said his lawyer named Bill Albright. Kipp has been taking in the sun in the buff for 30 years, often falling asleep in his own backyard, and it wasn't a problem until those new neighbors moved in next door. Last year, police said children could see the nude Kipp from the church parking lot behind his house, which has a chain-link fence but without privacy slats, and it is located about 20 miles north of Salt Lake City. I don't know what the fuck that has to do with anything, but that's where he lives. When an officer approached him, Kipp said that he could do what he wanted in his own backyard, according to court records. apparently not. He was arrested and then charged with 7 misdemeanor counts of lewdness, 4 of which involving a child. The case appeared headed for trial that would have taken the jury on a trip to see the house, see the fence, the proximity of the church, blah, blah, blah. At one point, an arrest warrant was mistakenly issued for Kipp after an innocent docket entry stated that he had missed a court date, which he did not. The trial was canceled last week. Kipp today wore a t-shirt with a green Argyle pattern with jeans and a St. Patrick's Day court appearance. He nodded and answered affirmatively in response to the judge's question and confirmed his plea was given under no influence by saying that I don't drink, smoke, or do anything else, Your Honor. A search of Utah court records show only a single traffic ticket for the man more than a decade ago. He said Tuesday that he's glad to have this case behind him, though he politely declined further questions. Judge Dave Connors also imposed a $250 court fee. He has a new court date to review the case in June, and another one set for next March. Then everything will be dropped and dismissed from him. So there's that.
Good
My
Lord.
God. I feel like 77. Who wants to see that?
No.
Not even in the bright lights of IKEA.
That is Blarney.
No, that's Blarney. Let it play hide and we won't see.
Yeah, I will not.
Exactly. Yeah. He's going to win. Yeah. There's a winner. Yeah.
I cannot.
I know who the winner is.
You, sir. You.
You just won.
You, sir.
May I just? It's something that Mr. Perkins had. Had put on Facebook something that he had liked, and I looked further into it.
Sure.
Concerning Representative Emily Virgin, who I am now in love with.
Good time.
Oh. Yes.
Is the state Oklahoma? Oklahoma. Are we back in the constantly in the news Oklahoma?
We are back in Oklahoma.
Talk more.
Tell me more.
So there is a
Did
bill.
He have a That's, car? That
was, did you get very far? Emily Virgin stops Oklahoma's freedom to discriminate bill in its tracks because of bigot advertisement provision. Okay, so what they were trying to get this state, the Oklahoma is the latest state that wanted to make a law allowing businesses to openly discriminate against LGBTQ patrons.
Or discriminate, either way.
Right. upon so-called religious freedom.
Okay.
Religious freedom, which of course all non-bigoted people know is code for I'm a raging homophobe.
Right? Yeah, right.
I mean, that's all that it is.
Sure. I'm not even sure it's code. I'm pretty sure it's just synonymous just there, at this
right,
point.
Right.
Is there a hanky just code?
Straight up, tell me that you love me.
Anyway, so it's not going to go near the governor's desk anytime soon because of Emily Virgin. Virgin knew exactly what the fellow lawmakers were trying to do, and she's a whole lot smarter than they are. So she told them that they could pass the bill, but only after she amended it to make sure every bigoted business owner in the state would be forced to own their bigotry by putting it front and center. Her amendment to the bill would allow their, quote, religious freedom discrimination, but only if the businesses advertise the fact that they are raving bigots far and wide. Notices of this discrimination would have to be put on the websites, social media pages, and shop windows of everyone who wished to take advantage of the bill by turning away people based on actual or perceived sexual orientation, gender identity, or race.
And they had to actually state what they were discriminating against. They had to put...
Brilliant.
Gay, transgendered, like what it was, who they
Black
were,
people,
who, right? Who they
Jews.
Wanted to turn
who they were offended by,
who they were offended by. So that was the thing. Oh boy, did that bill just died.
And she
said,
like
I will
it.
Attach this to every single piece of legislation you put before this committee on this topic. The clause will be, then you got to stand up and say so. And I was like,
oh, I agree. That's fantastic.
And like, it's just genius.
Well, and a bigot doesn't want to be called, I'm not a bigot.
I'm not a bigot. I mean, I just said it on my website, and I have a big sign in the window, but clearly I love Jesus.
I give all my money to XYZ.
I have his nuts right here.
Eggs.
Eggs
right here.
You got Jesus nuts?
It's all written in Aramaic. I don't know if it said nuts or
that's
eggs.
That's a new CNN special if you've got Jesus nuts.
I call Blarney against
Blarney.
This bill.
Blarney.
God. But I really thought that it was something important.
Oh, I like that. If you want
to
be I can't even think of the words. I'm so frustrated.
Bigotard.
A bigotard. Like
if you want to be a bigot, that's fine. But you're going to goddamn well put it in your window and tell everybody.
We'll sign the bill. Yeah. It'll pass. Yeah. But this is what you have. If in fact, you're going to use religious freedom to discriminate, this is what you're going to put in your window.
I think that
brilliant.
Should be national.
Fucking brilliant. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like everyone put up in the businesses here in Arizona when it started open to business for everyone. Mm-hmm. that everyone made a big deal out of. Whoever made those signs made a quick, fast fortune and then retired next week to...
You know where they say open for a
Pablo
business
Pablo St. Lucas, if that's a place.
Do you know the story behind those signs?
What, no?
I
made them for
don't.
Free. You could go pick up any fucking one you want. He made them all for free. It's the Alpha Graphics on Central.
Oh my God, I love it.
God damn
How
it.
Fantastic.
Capitalism fail. Epic blarney.
No, but look at this. I love it.
Oh, even you got one?
I've got two of them right there.
I love it.
This is what was
and
in...
And a tramp stamp above his ass. It says the same thing.
This is... Oh, you're funny. So for those of you... In Arizona, they were trying to do this bullshit thing where businesses could discriminate, and then they came up with these signs that all the businesses put in their... Most all businesses put in their windows.
Right. Many businesses.
But
one of the
Alpha Graphics here in town locally... made all these, and they were free, and they were handed out to everybody. So I actually keep meaning to put them up here in the studio. Yeah. But
that's fantastic. How cool.
Well, close
I
enough.
Love
he
it.
Held it up for somebody.
I love it.
So as long as you watch show number 275.
207.
We should put it right under
Same
the sign.
Problem.
I like it. Yeah. That's fantastic. But I just wanted to bring that up. I saw that you
realize
had,
the camera's over there, though.
No, I know, but just that way it's up and we can see
so
it.
So it's open for business for you, is what you're saying.
Totally done.
Totes open.
Totes open. Totes open.
Well played. But I thought that was such an important story.
And dozy
It was like a surprising little, and you know that just pissed them off because they were like, they were outthought by some non-Christian. You know what I mean?
And she's young. If you you put in Emily Virgin in Facebook, you can like her page. I just went on and liked it. She looks like she's incredibly young and just spunky to stand up and
She's on Facebook?
Yeah. And you can like her page. I went on immediately, and I was like,
"And my friend awesome. Jane from high school, and a really Ooh, funny thing. She put a funny comment at the bottom that I didn't get. I read it like twice, and I didn't get it. She's like, she just wants her name on every sign because it'll say open only to virgins." And I was like,
"That's
I
cute.
Don't get it.
I liked it. That's Look at her. She looks like a little lovely lady there.
Doesn't she? She looks really
simple
young.
Hairdo.
So, okay, so we'll just keep the news stories going about young legislators. So, Aaron Schock.
Yes!
Shocking!
Was shocked.
Shocking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now this is the tard. A couple months ago, we had his story, and I just assumed he was an older guy because of how stupid the story was.
Right. He's 33.
We talked about he's the one that had the media specialist, mm-hmm. that it turns out had the whole big Facebook page with all the like racist rants on
it. Oh, yeah, okay.
And it went on and on, and I just read his name and assumed he had to be some old white guy that didn't know how to use Twitter.
Right.
So that's why he hired this idiot. He's 33 years old, and allegedly he's a little light in the loafers. For his on-staff photographer that he pays to take pictures of him everywhere, and it's another blonde cutie. But this guy, he's really fucking cute, and he's been on like Men's Fitness.
He's got a huge Instagram following.
Oh.
But all of his, because he Instagrams everything, he's another one of the, he's like the dumb criminal that Instagrams. So he makes people pay for his travel, saying it's business related. And then there's pictures of him surfing. He did the Tom Cruise thing where he was in the wind tunnel. That's the mm-hmm. congressman that did that. That picture was famous for a long time of the congressman that was on the airlift.
Yeah.
So it looks like you're flying.
I didn't realize that was him.
It was him. But all these things, he said he was at business conferences and charging people money. So he decorated his office like downtown, like something out of Downton Abbey.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
And he got caught, and he was trying to avoid the interview with CNN, and he went on camera, and they're like, well, who paid for that? So I just did a little reading on this kid. He's been a little worker for a long time. He was elected to things in his teens.
Mm.
He was on all kinds of debate teams. He got into college while he was still in high school. He was on the school board when he was still a teenager, ended up the youngest person ever in Illinois, their House of Representatives, the State House of Representatives. He was the youngest member of Congress for a long time. He's the first congressperson ever born in the 80s.
So he's doing...
But he had a long record of like doing some kind of impressive things. He's a Republican. He was he's considered very conservative, but he had a kind of an impressive record of like... getting some shit done. Obama tried to court him at one point to get him to go for the TARP Act, but he didn't end up voting for it. But because of the people that were affected in Peoria, which is his district, like Obama ended up taking his little 20-year-old out to lunch and getting like press and getting like photo ops with him. Like, this was a rising star that just forgot about. He's one of these people that's too stupid to figure out social media. Like, that's got a time and a date on it.
Yeah.
But and you'll love this. The thing that undid him. First, it was the Downton Abbey thing. Right. He swore he never saw the show because I think the gay rumors were starting. So he had to separate himself from, like, British queer shows.
Right.
And all that blarney. Because
the gays do love the Downton
Abbey. Yeah, the gays do love the Downton Abbey. So he's been claiming... travel expenses, mileage expenses,
right,
for his private car that he drives, and he claimed 170,000 miles on it. Well, he traded it in, and he bought it with 4 miles, and it was so easy to find because it's all public knowledge.
How many miles were on it when you traded it in?
81,000 miles. But he built the first group of people for like 120,000 miles, and then he built the next group for like 40,000 miles, and then he traded the fucking car. And, no, bitch, you bury that with grandpa on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, he also did campaign events and improper payments for Bears games.
And he went to everything. Like, he goes to the Wynn Hotel in Vegas. Right. He's at 5-star resorts everywhere. But he always takes his picture.
She's having a good time.
And he's really fucking cute, and he's got this hot rocking body. And he's always half naked. Like, there's the photographer that he pays surfs next to him and takes his picture. Like, it's a full on, like, Sports Illustrated action shot. That surfing picture is so professionally done, and it's just about his
ass. Well, I should hope so, because he paid said photographer,
his boyfriend,
$50,000 in the last quarter of 2014.
Wow.
Listing him as personal expenses.
Oh, yes. My.
Yeah. Link accompanied Chalk on a trip to India last August, sponsored by the Global Poverty Project.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one the of Global his, Poverty
what?
Project.
Yeah. Call Blarney.
Well, Blarney. He's total. Yeah. One of his, and then one of I his, one Blarney. Of his major donors bought his private house, his residence, and paid three times the market value for it, so he could have like campaign finances that he didn't need because he's 33, right? He's born in 81, so he's like he'll be 34 this year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
This kid had a shot to be in this district. He's like the Elizabeth Warren of the House of Representatives. Like, they were going to run him for governor, and he said, no, I can pretty much have this shot. And legitimately said it. Like,
I'm good where
no,
I am.
No, he probably thought it. He didn't really, like, say it to a kid like I'm saying it. But in his mind was probably thinking, I've got this seat in the conservative part of Illinois for the rest of my life.
I can milk this cow until I'm John McCain's age, is what he said.
Right.
And be very effective. And it was a stellar career. I mean,
he's only 33 and was already in his fourth term at Congress.
Fourth term. That's what I mean.
So that's like this 8 years.
But if you read the things he was elected to, like starting with the school board, where he went and said, you need someone that's actually been in school recently to be on the school board. And he won all his elections are huge landslides. Like, he was untouchable.
Yeah.
Tell me the name again.
Aaron Schock. Is it Schock?
S-C-H-O-C-K. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's A-A-R-O-N. I mean, he's kind of like the little white, you know, no, he's not that great and there's not much hope, but he is white. You know?
I want to see pictures of said.
Oh, he is attractive.
Oh, yes. I remember her.
Yeah.
I remember her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he wears a suit. Like, that guy knows how to wear a suit. I was reminded of not Barney, knows how to Barney
wear,
on...
He probably knows how to wear a harness and has to be strapped down. I'm sure he knows how to do all that, too.
I mean, I'll take a turn on the wheel. I'm not lying.
Oh, yeah. Spin the bottle. Pick a wheel. Yeah. Oh, there's
Neil
the surf
Patrick
shot.
Neil Patrick Harris and How to Meet Your Mother.
Yeah.
Those are nice suits.
Yeah, you're right.
There's no getting around it.
That's
but that's a good looking man, and his photographer is taller and hotter. But it's just a funny fucking story. He went belly up today with like no fight whatsoever. Yeah. Like, he didn't try to ride this scandal out at all.
Just rolled over and took it like New Jersey.
He just bailed out as soon as they started asking questions. Actually, his quote.
What can you say? What could you
possibly? But he's got a full career ahead as a motivational speaker or a mega church pastor, looking like that and being slightly gay. You know what I mean?
Or as Anthony Robbins Jr.
I said mega church.
Tony Robbins?
No, he's the motivational guy.
Oh, he's a self-esteem fucker. Yeah. Oh, it's the same shit.
Yeah.
Same song.
Just really good looking, standing up there and, you know,
Did you have a follow-up on that, Kat?
Just his quote from his statement this morning that said, constant questions over the last 6 weeks have proven a great distraction and has made it too difficult for me to serve the people of the 18th district.
Yeah. And mostly because my money train is slowed down.
Yeah. Because it takes a lot of cash to look like this. Yeah.
We just had to cancel the trip to Dubai.
So. Yeah.
The poverty people were. And really,
and why would you go if your photographer can't go and show? It's like going to the gym. If you can't post about it, you'd never have.
But the best part
is. No one straight is.
No, I remember seeing that from the story.
Right. I am sorry. When you're dressed like an Italian restaurant tablecloth, you are gayer than Christmas. You are gayer than cannoli. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember that particular.
Can we get cannoli next week and this little delivery of food and drink that's coming?
Well, I don't even know if the gentleman who's bringing his food is still listening or not. But
how pushy are we allowed to be with this?
He did text me to tell you that he will be outside at 10:30 at 5 looking for autographs.
Love it.
Why does Chris get all the autograph requests?
Yeah.
So
it's my unique voice, unique New York.
I counted wrong on my story from earlier,
Blarney.
But this
fucking Blarney.
This is our final headline of the night.
My friend Blarney,
and I'm going to put a link in the chat room right now. I just put a link in for the picture of that coincides with this story. A California man spray painted his face black in an effort to camouflage himself and evade police. A Madera Police Department spokesman told ABC News just today, however. The camouflage was ineffective. For those of you watching, I will post the picture on the video feed. There is the same picture that's in the chat room. The suspect...
It's just as pretty there as it was here.
The suspect, Jose Espinoza, 23 years old, was arrested on Saturday night facing charges of possession of stolen property, theft of a vehicle, and I'm going to guess huffing paint, just kind of.
Does he have his last name tattooed across his back?
Well, why wouldn't you? That's what they all do.
And his home address in case he gets high from the fumes.
I'm going to have to get crossed.
I find that...
Husband, we're getting tattoos.
I find that exceptionally helpful, so I know what last name to scream out. So you're riding the... Never mind. The suspect...
You're an idiot.
Ah, whatever. I like it. Espinoza fled the first time police arrived.
The victim in this story is face down.
Blarney.
But I've heard him pronounce European names, and it doesn't go well.
Oh, true.
Espinoza, I pretty much got that.
All right.
Lopez.
Yeah, he hit that already.
Guadalajara. Whatever.
Guadalajara.
Espinoza fled the first time police arrived at his house.
But he was going to say Espinoza fled the first time I tried to date him.
I haven't dated an Espinoza. He was successfully apprehended when he later returned to his home and was seen with black spray paint on his face. The spray paint bottle Espinoza allegedly used has been turned over as evidence. Now, Espinoza, let me get this picture off of our little screen so you can watch us again. Espinoza was booked into the Madera County Jail early Sunday, according to jail records. Now, a court date during which when Espinoza will be expected to answer his charges, a court date is unknown at this time, and it is unclear whether or not he has painted himself into a corner or has legal representation.
Yeah, he just drew a black box around it. Okay, I don't spend a lot of time looking at your tits, which is why I just noticed that leprechaun is throwing up a rainbow into a pot of gold. It's so vulgar.
It is.
It's fantastic.
It's my St. Patrick's T-shirt.
I will never look back there again.
Magically delicious.
Well, the first time they were.
I appreciate that.
They were.
I appreciate the interest, but I don't spend a lot of time looking at your tits. There you have it.
So that's good.
So that leaves a little window
to not be on display.
A window of tolerance open is what that leaves.
Right.
I'll allow it.
I'll allow it.
Judge's rule? Yes.
10.
All right. With 90 minutes still left in our show, we're going to turn everything over to Al Perkins with entertainment, and it goes a little bit like this.
My voice is back. That's entertaining. All right. So, all kinds of deaths this week. Kathy Griffith leaves Fashion Police. Another death. And then Jinx, the show that I've been bitching about, that is not on HBO On Demand. It's only on Go, so I haven't been watching it. Solved a fucking murder
this week.
It really
did solve the crime.
And now it's like the hot news story of the week. God damn it. And Kimmy Schmidt.
Blarney.
And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the last 5 years, because I got a couple more things to say on that topic. So we'll just start with Jeremy Jordan. Now, the last 5 years...
I'd like to end with them, too.
Yeah, we can all finish together on that one.
Warm apple pie.
So the last 5 years, really douchey. It's Jason Patrick Brown, Robert Pate, Jason... It's a bunch of white people names all mixed together. And he's the...
Yes.
he is the composer of said, Jason Robert Brown, I think it might be his name. Okay. Anyways, he is the composer of said musical, and he had a little bit of early success with a show called Songs for a New World that gave us The Stars and the Moon, and everyone who knows like theater and cabaret has heard The Stars and the Moon at every cabaret performance ever. Mm-hmm. And it's his biggest show. He did Parade. He did The Bridges of Madison County recently. Oh, I want to say Honeymoon in Vegas is the one that's on Broadway now with Tony Danza. That's almost a hit, but the weather's kept them under. He had a little bit of success early, and it's the show the last 5 years is autobiographical. It's about him and his first girlfriend. He got early success as a songwriter. She was a struggling actress, and he actually wrote down their story, and she tried to sue him for being like, bitch, this ain't no story. This is our life.
It's our life.
And so he changed a couple things. But so if you watch the show, it's really a shitty, like, it's a shitty thing to say about, like, it's just a shitty portrayal of a woman, and he's just a douche in it. But the thing that makes that sells it so well is Jeremy Jordan. Mm-hmm. Like, I've just been listening to the show on a loop
well,
in my car.
Yeah, it's not a fairy tale.
No,
by
not
any
at
means.
All, yeah.
No, it's almost a tragedy, but nobody dies.
Yeah.
She might still, but you know.
But he's a dick, and to write this show and not realize that you're going to come across as
you're
kind of an ass.
You're writing yourself as a douche.
Yeah, but that Nobody Needs to Know song and A Summer in Ohio just sell it of like his belittling of her, like kind of making her funny. But they both are so good in this
yes
production, and you don't have to oversell it because it's not a stage production without a lot of sets, which is usually how it's performed. So you don't have to over-emote, and it's not a cabaret where you don't have the backstory and you got to, like, punch every line. You get these subtle deliveries. And the Nobody Needs to Know song where he cheats on her with an array of women.
A parade. Binders full.
So beautifully done. And the lyrics to that song, and I've always been kind of taken back by how much I dislike him.
Okay.
In the show, mm-hmm. like, just knowing that he wrote it about himself and he's a total douchebag. But now hearing Jeremy Jordan sing it, and not that the character comes across as any better, but that is just some beautiful writing about finding his own little corner, and here she comes with her armor to blow it apart, and he's gathering his battalions, and it's like just really good songwriting. Mm-hmm. So if you're in my car in the next couple of weeks, you'll be listening to songs from the last 5 years, and I realized I was missing the Talking Heads. Blarney!
Use your words,
Al. The cast register.
In the whole thing of, like, Tim and I not living together, all of the Talking Heads CDs went, obviously, with him, and I didn't have any. And, oh, my God, what great music I was missing by not having that. Road to Nowhere, that's the song of the week, besides the last 5 years. But Road to Nowhere is just so much fun. So good. And then The Deaths. We'll start with The Deaths. So the guy that directed Still Alice, Academy Award winner, mm-hmm. Julianne Moore's movie, he was suffering from ALS, and he had he and his I think it was his lover of many years, co-directed it together, correct. Even though he was in late stage ALS. He just passed away, and very sad for the community, and his thing was he was going to direct this movie, come hell or high water, and whatever had to be done to accommodate it. And it was just interesting that with the Theory of Everything winning the other one with a famous story of ALS, and you see how much people can accomplish even though they're suffering from this disease. Here, the director of the movie about Alzheimer's is directed by someone with ALS and still gets it done, and his artistic vision came through. But unfortunately, after that, he just died this week. So it was a very, very sad loss, and the everything that I read about him was just very kind. Mm-hmm. Everyone's thoughts on him. And then the director of the Paradise Lost trilogy, which is the story of the West Memphis Three that were wrongly convicted of the murders and all the bad law enforcement going on down there, and the fear of the occult in the early 90s played into it, and a mentally handicapped, mentally challenged...
Yep.
I don't even know what back then they said the word that I'm not allowed to say anymore, but that's what they called him back in 94.
You mean the first time you might use it properly, you're abstaining?
Yeah, because I guess I'm not allowed to say it then. But he's like a southern tard.
we call that a so-tard?
So-tard. So-tard, I'm sorry.
So-tard and Coke.
Totes-opes. So, the confession was from somebody that was like... borderline retarded.
He truly had I believe his
IQ was in the 70s, and they
67, 68, which is considered maybe even 73, but that would be.
And they kept him in a room for over 24 hours and just just completely destroyed this kid until he eventually admitted, because he just wanted to go home. He was
said to him, "What do you want me to say?"
And he and they actually like told him what to say, and that was a confession that they got. And they put the one the older boy, they actually had on death row for like 20 years because. Not 20 years, because they're out now, so like 18 years. Wow. But because of this trilogy of movies, it's the Paradise Lost trilogies, they're very hard to watch. And they're three of my favorite movies, and then there's the West Memphis 3, which is the like the final say on all of it. But anyways, this director, who worked tirelessly to get these boys freed from this crime, this horrible crime that the killer has still not been found, but he passed away this week. And again, just an amazing...
I'm pretty sure it's that stepdad. That creepy, right, fucking weird stepdad.
But that's only in... Oh, wait. But this not the creepy one that had his teeth removed. He was exonerated.
No, I know, but that's the one that everything kind of like...
Right. But the first one points to him, and then the second one you find out it's probably the other one's stepdad.
Right. It's just weird.
Oh, my God. But amazing, especially if you like documentaries and you like true crime stories and stuff like that. These are three of the best movies, and then the kicker is the West Memphis 3, which kind of... ties them all together, but you need to go on the journey of the Paradise Lost as you see them learn stuff with them, and eventually Peter Jackson and Fran Walsh from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, they became the main financiers of the.
No, I didn't realize that. Okay,
they produced the West Memphis 3, but they became the big backers and started sending in money and experts in to be like, okay, clearly this fucked up.
Right. Well, because they chose three guys that weren't. One that severely was not...
and the other two are completely mentally fine, but they were sort of friends, but they made it sound like they ran in a pack and they were part of the occult and that they did
all
these
black
ritual
and
things.
So
and the one kid, but only one of them wore black.
Yeah.
But the other one was bullied a lot, and they just lumped them together and said that they did this horrifying crime together.
Because they're from a different side of the tracks that, you know, where people were like, well, it'd be easy to blame them. I mean, they're just white trash.
And the one kid was kind of in and out of... he was in and not trouble. He was just someone that everyone kind of watched. He was in and out of programs, but never really in trouble. And when they found the bodies and someone said, oh, that looks occult-like, because back then everyone was obsessed with the occult. Someone says, oh, Damon Nichols has finally killed someone. And they just locked in on him immediately. And it was just one of the people that had like dealt with this kid because he wore black and he like... They said he was a Satan worshiper, and he wasn't. Like they were like, "What are you talking about?" He just listened to like Morrissey and stuff, and wore black and dyed his hair black, and they
and didn't give a shit.
And so
when they tried to talk to him, he'd be like, "Because he realized there's nothing I can say."
Yeah, and then he smiled and waved as the cop car was driving him away, and everyone's like, "He's a killer! Look at how maniacal!" He was like, "My mom and dad were crying."
Right.
He's like, I just wanted to smile and let them know I was okay. Like, it's not a secret.
And he was a young kid.
And
so
he's been in solitary confinement for like 18 years. So he's almost legally blind and can't go in sunlight. And it's like, oh, my God. You got to
see. Horrible.
Oh,
it
my
is.
God. So anyways, this and I forgot to write his name and my computer won't let me. The iPad won't let me go to places. So if somebody could find his name for me that just died, Paradise Lost, the trilogies. And then Albert... Maisels. I do not know how to pronounce his name. I can't remember, but he directed Gimme Shelter, the Rolling Stone documentary. But then for the gays, he is the one that started off trying to do a documentary about the Bouvier sisters and ended up visiting the childhood home that they both vacation home that they both love so much that we all know is Grey Gardens.
Grey Gardens.
Yeah.
So Albert, who found he and his directing partner went to the home of Big Edie and Little Edie, started to do the interviews, looked around, and just gave up completely on doing anything about Jackie Bouvier's sister Lee. Mm-hmm. It was no longer going to be about them. Just like how the documentary about the times of Harvey Milk was not supposed to be about Harvey Milk. It was supposed to be about the teachers' fight that was going on to fire gay teachers is what the subject of that documentary was.
Right.
And when they found Harvey Milk, they were like...
This is the story.
The one guy said, I want to do a documentary about him. And the other guy was like, you're on your own. But if you think that's interesting... And then through the course of it, he was assassinated. But that documentary was only supposed to be about the fight to get gay teachers fired in California. And this was the same thing. It was supposed to be about something else. And when they met them, like, here's our documentary.
Stand by. This is where it's at.
So, I mean, this huge story and interesting lives. And one of the, seriously, one of the best, one of the best documentaries.
Bruce Sinofsky.
Ray Gardens.
Bruce Sinofsky. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, just, the West Memphis.
Yeah, just died. But so he died this week, and just a great contributor. And the Gimme Shelter documentary about the Rolling Stone concert and Think in 69, and it is another one. It's a fantastic. It's one of the great rock documentaries of all time. I'm a big fan of documentaries. Chris can't tell. And the other one. Oh, am I going to think of it? Nope. I'll get it later. Mike Porcaro of Toto dies.
I saw that.
So, and I can't remember which of the, because there's two brothers, there's actually three brothers that were Toto. There was an original member, and Mike took over for one of the original members left back when they were toeing the line, love is always on time.
Right?
The early hits. But then before they got really big later with Rosanna and Africa and all that stuff, Mike was already in the band. He wasn't part of the original lineup that most people don't remember, but they were really studio musicians. It was kind of a super band like Asia and the Buggles. Like, it was one of those groups that was not, they weren't really a group. They were studio musicians that worked constantly. They worked a lot. They worked a lot with Quincy Jones. They're on the Donna Summer album. They're on the Thriller album. They're on the Off the Wall album.
Oh,
they were all of them were just working musicians that just decided to get together and make this one first album. They had some success, and they would just come back. And eventually, they became bigger than the bands that they were playing backup for, and the singers. And they had their own little run. But it was so. It was another one died, and Mike's brother that was one of the original founders died like 14 years ago. So now there's one brother left. But it's always, the story of Toto always just amuses me that it was just a bunch of people who were working musicians, making money, just said, let's make our own album. We've been backing up these schmoes for long enough. Let's do this. They had one little hit in the late 70s. Then they got a little bigger and they changed the lineup. And then they just kept making music. And eventually, like, oh, wait, fuck, we're famous.
Well, did you say,
is there any way that any of you could play backup for us?
No. Did you mention, I apologize because I was looking that thing up, that they had lost another band member just a year ago? Dennis Fergie Fredrickson?
Oh, I did not know that.
The former Toto singer died last January.
Oh, so. the singer. I remember his name. So, and I can't remember what the brother was that really started the band. If his name was Steve. Because I know there was a Steve Porcaro, there's a Mike Porcaro, and I think the third one is...
I am on it.
Anyway, but they're all over. So if you're one of those people like me that reads the liner notes in every album, their names were everywhere on your albums from the late 70s and early 80s. They played with everyone.
Jeff
Porcaro.
Jeff, Steve, and Mike.
And Steve is dead or Jeff is dead? One of them put out a touching statement, one of them's dead.
But you can't guess which one's alive.
Allow me to look, because it's not saying right here. It's just saying that Steve died, or that Mike died January 15th. So. Yeah.
Wow, that long ago?
March 15th.
Okay, I'm like,
Sorry.
So the other documentary that, in case I haven't talked about it, and I'll talk about it today, and I'll talk about it again in a couple years, is called Capturing the Freedmans. And you must see it. Capturing the Freedmans. It was supposed to be an innocent documentary about party clowns
Jeff
in New
died.
York City. Jeff died.
Sorry.
And Jeff was the most famous one. Jeff Porcaro was like a famous guitarist. He played guitar on like every record you've ever heard of. His credits are just astronomical. Huh. Go back through all your albums from the late 70s
and early
80s.
You've talked about this Capturing the Freedmans before.
Pussy Bought a Party Clown gets a hold of the busiest party clown in New York City at the time and does an interview with him and is so captured by his absolute weirdness and his absolute bizarreness that he starts to follow him more closely and then finds out that the younger brother has been videotaping their entire lives for years and is happy to throw them all over. And it turns out they're serial child molesters.
Oh.
The party clown, the dad, the only one that's not is the brother that's videotaping everything. And because of the documentarian interviewing them, and they're so used to being on camera and talking on camera because of the brother always videotaping them, they have no filter just admit to all these crimes. And it is one of the most shocking documentaries. And it's so entertaining. Not entertaining, it's horrifying, but you're riveted. Like, get the popcorn. You're going to love me for it. I saw it in the movie theater and just was like, what the fuck? And it was, it's a few years ago. So it was back in the day where you were still like, why would you follow somebody with a camera?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the son is just, he gets all the fights on camera, all the breakdowns, everything is on camera. Just craziness. Kathy Griffin leaves Fashion Police. And in a really bizarre twist of a woman who's, I mean, she's bashed famous people predominantly and a couple of reality stars that kind of asked for it, but has just said that she was hoping they would change Fashion Police more to fit her style of humor and maybe go after more bizarre choices, but she was just uncomfortable with what they were expecting to do and that so much of it was written for them. And it turns out that that line that the skinny one, what's her name, Giuliani?
Gina Rancic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I never know her name. But that was written for her by a guy, and they had time to change it, and they went with it, and they were all... No one... It was all fake shock. The thing about the patchouli comment. And then someone threw in weed, thinking that might be better or worse, and it just... It turns out it wasn't the right fit for her. But she's kind of left it in a very... To me, what was a very respectful way for someone who just... kind of bashes on people and is kind of like all of a sudden trying to like maybe backpedal a little on her image of like just saying shitty things about Gwyneth Paltrow that people take to heart and like and Nicole Kidman and just the people and not that anybody cares about these people really, but she spent a lot of her career bashing people. I thought she was a perfect choice, but she just kind of felt like they're in pretty dresses, they're okay people, why are we just bashing them? And you know what I mean, like
I always felt that Griffin tells more stories of people,
and that's right. and was kind of her thing
fit. Yeah,
that just to say someone looked ugly was not her thing. She wanted a little bit more backstory of why
how did
she
you
was
get
in
to the mess you're in. Here's the story. You started out lovely, pretty in a dress, and by the end of that you were wasted in a gutter.
Right.
That's a story that she could tell
with ass plants.
But it really does show you, and we talked about this right after Joan died. It is most people really didn't realize how much Joan was involved with. She knew fashion. Mm-hmm. She knew her timing. She knew all these people in a different way. And it really did show you, regardless if it was written or not, because obviously Joan would have had to approve her own lines, even though I think a lot of Joan's was just she off the cuff and she tried lines and she tried timing.
Yeah.
It really showed you that show.
They were filmed live and edited. So she would get three runs at a joke and then pick the right one. Which means that they edited around that line by her. And not that it was, again, it's not offensive. Like, I'm sorry, you're in dreads. Patchouli and weed.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a Rastafarian. It's going to go.
We're going to go.
Ramalamalama, shamalading-da-na.
Yeah.
But
chang, chang, changity, chang.
I don't know that show. I don't think it can. It will never be the show that it was because you can't get Joan back.
Right.
It was so centered. Like, it was so very Joan-centric.
And the balance was a perfect balance, and it's just not going to be that way again. So it's going to just be different. But I thought it was respectful of her to bow out and be like, you know, this is not... I'm not a good fit for this. This is not my deal.
And the fact that they all stayed so respectful of each other in the bowing out, like that... E didn't have a big fight with her. She didn't. Yeah. It wasn't a big, like, Twitter war. It was everyone... I was like, this is kind of new for Kathy Griffin, too, to be...
To not cause a brouhaha.
Take the upper road.
On the way
out. That everyone took the high road of like, okay, this show may or may not go on, but we don't know. But Joan Rivers had a kind of comedy that, even though Kathy Griffin may be in the style of, it's not the same. And it turns out it's really not the same.
Oh. Yeah.
And one of the things that I always, oh my God, Jenny, capturing the Freemans, and then get back to me. MISSEYAL@AOL.com. You will die when you watch this movie. It's riveting. And now, speaking of docuseries and why you cannot live without HBO is Jinxed, which I have been very mad, and it's just because Sunday night is so full of so much fucking TV that you can't tape it all. Like, you just cannot possibly tape it all. So I was always hoping to catch Jinxed on another night, but I'm like, you know what? I'm not chasing TV shows anymore. I have On Demand. I'm just going to find it on demand the next week and watch it like a normal, sane human being. On Demand has not carried it, and it has just been all over the news for this entire run. And then,
just this weekend,
they arrest the guy who's the main topic of it, because it turns out in the documentary he confessed, and now he's in jail because he really did kill these people. And I'm like, what the fuck? And this dumb tard agreed to be interviewed the entire thing. He's on camera for the entire show. I think it was 6 episodes.
Well, he had to have known he was going to get busted then. Like, he had to have, like...
But he has this weird thing, and
he couldn't have been thinking he was still going to get away with it.
No, he did. His lawyers told him absolutely to not do this. He was advised by everyone possible to stay away from this.
You might say something but that will incriminate
you. But then he's a psychopath.
Yes.
Too arrogant to realize the consequences.
Multi-millionaire guy.
I have to watch this now.
Oh, my God. The first episode weeks ago because it's only on HBO Go.
No, you talked about it.
But as soon as I put something on in my bed, I'm fast asleep. So that's just not happening.
This show is one of the things that puts him to sleep.
It certainly does.
Yeah.
We know.
I won't point to anyone's segment.
I try. You people just shit on it.
Shit on it.
Fuck.
But one of the things that he said he did, not to give a spoiler, but I think that's been all over the news today, is that he admitted he has full conversations with himself out loud in public. Even when people are in the room, he talks to himself. And so he went to the bathroom, still mic'd, and he talked to himself and confessed to the crimes. But there's also other ways that they caught him, not just that. So now, but the police arrested him the night before the finale of the show. And I don't know what
clearly
that show, Serial, remember that radio show Serial that everyone was talking about in the beginning of the year? Allegedly, that's the same crimes, but I don't know.
We're still talking, Harrison.
Yeah. Same shit. But anyways, so it's called Jinxed. It's on HBO, and hopefully it's going to be on, if it's not on HBO on demand, it's definitely on HBO Go.
Well, I would imagine they'll also have some sort of a revision because, again, he has been arrested.
There will be there'll be one more episode.
LA wants to extradite him because he's in New Orleans, but they won't let him go. But LA wants to extradite him out there because is that where the murders were obviously?
In New York and Los Angeles. Well, they can only get him for one. One he was tried, and the one where he chopped up the body and put it in the water, he was exonerated. He was found not guilty of that because he said it was self-defense. Then why did you have to chop up the body and put it in the water?
He fell into my knife 37 times.
Yeah. So this one is about the woman who was his confidant and friend.
Almost a girlfriend, right?
Almost a girlfriend. That was his like main supporter through the whole trial. And I guess at some point she must have realized he had killed his ex-wife and the neighbor. And so he killed her, too, and then left an anonymous note for the Beverly Hills Police Department saying that there was a cadaver. But it turns out that he doesn't know how to spell the word Beverly. And so all of the correspondent from the anonymous killer and from him all have the word Beverly in the same handwriting spelled the same way wrong. So it's just a fascinating thing.
There might have been a murder.
So I have to Google
And you both sing the same wrong words to amazing
Yeah, things. Yeah. You don't have to be corduroy. Just listen to me. You know what I mean? I think he sings the same words to 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. So the other things in entertainment besides however you can get to Jinx, find it. It has been so well reviewed all along that it's been killing me. I check every day to watch it on fucking On Demand.
Oh my! I'm being served food here for those of you who can't see.
Molly
us.
Loves it when we chew on film.
The
season finale of Empire is tomorrow night. The 2-hour season finale.
I'm devastated.
Why?
Because I love it.
Oh, I know.
I don't want it to end.
They will have a lot. I'm nearly certain with the ratings that they've been getting. Yes, please. With the ratings that they've been getting, that they will have a longer season than just 13 weeks next year. That they will have a much longer season. The season finale for Glee that finally dies
that
this Friday. Last week's was the only good one of this season, and it was their sectionals, and the music choices were very good. The songs were fun. It was a fun episode of just, we are just watching someone slowly march to death. It's like the Trail of Tears of, like, gay choirs.
It's so sad.
If I can just correlate the horrible atrocities we did to Native Americans to a TV show.
To a gay high school.
I'm sure that's a comparable reference. Sure.
Hashtag the struggle is real.
So that's it. And it's already so much about death, but every time I turned on my computer, somebody else was dead of like people that I was like, I admire your work, and now you're fucking dead.
That's terrible.
It really was.
How many of them did you think were already dead?
None. Absolutely none.
It's a fair question.
It is a fair question, but none on this particular list. Huh? Because the guy from Gimme Shelter and Great Gardens gets interviewed quite a bit because of the movie, the musical, mm-hmm. and the constant interest in that, because that movie gets found. It used to get found like every 10 years, and I've told the story about being at a party in the '80s when VHS was new, and someone broke out a Grey Gardens documentary when I was at a party, and I kept walking in and out of the room about like, what the fuck are they?
Oh my god, it's so
the craziness! And then it came out like
up. It is crazy.
20 years later on DVD, and a friend of mine was like, "Do you remember that movie from the '80s about the crazy old ladies? Did you know it was a documentary?" And I was like,
yeah.
Vaguely, I remember seeing that at a party. She's like,
and
oh,
then
no.
All of a sudden, they did it again with Drew Barrymore in it. Right. They just reenacted the entire documentary.
Well, no, then it was a musical, and then it was a really funny musical with Christine Ebersole and oh my god, the other woman that won the Tony that played her that played the old Big Edie. Jerry likes my corn. I mean, I saw that on Broadway and almost shit my pants. It was so fucking funny. And then all of a sudden now it's a big again HBO comes through again with the movie. I mean, it just went through such a weird run.
There is the house that's on Missouri between Central and 7th Street that Al and I used to ride everywhere a couple years ago together, and the house was for sale, and it was a little run down, and it was gray, and we always referred to it as Grey Gardens, and we wanted to buy it so
were you guys going to buy it together?
We wanted to buy it so we could all live in it, because it's fucking massive.
And we couldn't figure out what the ridiculous price was about, because it was a run down house when the housing economy was in the shitter. Turns out it came with like 100 acres behind it.
Oh, because some
of
those lots are really
deep. The parcel of land behind it was like Disneyland.
Right.
And that's what
people
bought it
for. It's like three stories, and it's got all this add-on and huge garages. It's a big, big house. But whoever bought it, renovated, cleaned it up. It looks really good.
It was like 1,000 square feet.
I don't recall.
No, that's
pretty small.
That is small. This house is 1,400.
Then it was 100,000 square feet.
That's maybe too big. Maybe 10,000?
I don't know.
Anyway. No. I mean, it was like Disney. It was a huge
part.
The lot is ginormous.
The house probably not that big.
No, the house wasn't that big. It was the parcel of land that came as its backyard that you were really buying. Because I looked up the price a couple times, and I'm like, really?
You're like,
that much?
Settle down.
That house is barely standing.
Eric from L.A. said, 1 million square
feet. 1 million!
It was something ridiculous.
Right.
And when I looked it up online, I really had no, like, concept of how big that was. And then I had to do the Zillow thing where you see the aerial shot, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Neverland Ranch isn't that big. Neverland. I don't know what that voice was.
You were never there.
But anyway, it was something we looked at.
But I've seen the same picture.
And every time I drive by it, I still call it Grey Gardens. I still look at it.
That's so nice.
Yes, there's
a nice local.
I don't know about this Irish shit, but this is delicious.
Yes, it's good.
It smells
Marnie
delicious.
Marnie took a risk in making corned beef and cabbage and potatoes for her first time.
From the Irish.
And it's good.
And it doesn't smell at all like feet. My problem with cabbage is that when you cook it, it always kind of smells like feet. This does not.
That's later.
Well played. Sir or ma'am.
Sir or ma'am.
However you self-identify.
And we'll tell the Irish story. I went home for St. Patrick's Day. It's been years now. It was like my one sister was finishing college. The other sister needed a little respite care break from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I was home in March, and we did a St. Patrick's Day thing. Like, one of the girls that I grew up with married a man named O'Hara, and, you know, they take the Irish very seriously, and we had this whole party, because it's also one of my niece Kelly's birthday today.
Oh, very nice. Happy birthday, Kelly.
So, yeah, happy birthday, Kelly. I think she's 26 or something like that.
She clearly doesn't listen.
Probably not.
Her sister does. Her older sister does.
Fun.
So I went there, and I was like, okay, my grandmother took the Irish seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was Irish. Like, she was off the boat Irish.
Right.
Either her or her father. She may have been, I can't remember if she was born here or not. There's some debate as to whether she was born here or in Ireland. But she was Irish.
Yeah.
And you couldn't wear orange, and it was a whole big story. And it wasn't about drinking green beer. It was seriously about, like, getting down on your knees and praying for Ireland or whatever the fuck she was doing. Whatever crazy shit she was up to. But I never really thought anything of it. And then, like, my family went nuts this one St. Patrick's Day for this party, and we're making all these plans. And I'm like, I don't even know if I like this shit, because everybody was talking about who made the best corned beef. And I'm like, that is definitely not something I would have eaten as a child. Like, I would have been like, where are the Italian people again? Because I'm not eating that fucking shit.
When is Columbus Day?
Yeah, when's that coming up? And so we went to this party, and I was like, as everybody was breaking out their recipes, I'm like, I love this shit. Like, this is so good. So it was just weird that, like, I didn't realize my family was that Irish. Like, all right, I guess we're going to take this seriously.
Who knew? I guess now they are.
It's a touching story.
I thought we were just white. I just thought we were white. I didn't know we were identifying with any kind of group.
Well, you know, Irish Americans, that's... Who invented this goddamn holiday?
Well, yeah. And I take it pretty seriously. Pretty seriously. I mean, Mick. Last name's McKee. Somehow there's Irish. Swiss, German, Irish.
That could be Scottish, though.
Yeah, I think the word I got was Irish.
I believe I'm 1/64th Irish.
It's enough.
Well, how much? A skosh.
There we go.
My grandmother was all Irish, though. And if she were here to tell you, she'd have two things to say. She was born in 1910, and she was Irish.
There we go.
Atta girl.
All right, kids, we are going to do our crossover into hour three. Marnie's in the kitchen heating up stuff for us to eat, which is lovely. We're going to come back.
Blarney.
We're going to come. Blarney's are drinking. We haven't done that much. Kat Carlson's coming back with a segment of stuff to talk about, and then we'll wrap it up with final thoughtful vulgarity or some shit. Whatever.
Final vulgarity.
We'll be back.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Whoops. Good evening once again, everybody. It is 9 o'clock. You turned down the wrong button. That's what happened. Just swipe down the wrong thing. It's all good. Hi again to everybody in the chat room. God, they're busy, very busy. Got Neverland Gardens. What the hell's that?
Oh, my God. Neverland Ranch.
Oh.
Thank you.
Combine them?
Together.
Oh. Together at last.
We can work that out. You are in Studio C. We are coming to you from the heart of Central Phoenix. We do it every week, 7 to 10, our time. I don't know what time it is where you are, but I guess you figured it out because you're listening to us, if not live, on demand, which you can do anytime, 24/7, going to qtalkamerica.com. My heaven's sakes. Kat, are you ready? You think we're going to be able to pull this off?
I mean, I'm as ready as I ever am.
Well, by God, let's do something with it. We'll figure it out. Here we go.
We'll make some
boys and girls, it's Kat Carlson and her very own segment. So let's go like this.
Well, as it turns out, two of the four stories that I had already got shit on.
Oh, we are ahead of our game.
So I have a story about actual shit.
Always good with a meal.
Speaking of cronuts, I found a story about a Maple Bar robbery. A study confirms what bartenders have known since 2001. Millennials are dumbasses. And lesbians kissing causes quite the brouhaha in Paris.
Oh, brouhaha.
Brouhaha.
Right here.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's German for blarney.
Yes.
Of course. We'll think of it.
So, we'll start with the actual shit story. A British Airways plane had to return to London because of a smelly toilet.
Oh, I did read part of this, Jay.
I still can't believe this is true.
Where did I get this
from? Not one person packed Febreze?
Right? The plane was scheduled to fly to Dubai from Heathrow, but someone caused such a stink in the plane's toilet that it had to return to Heathrow Airport. A local British politician on board tweeted that the plane had to turn back because of a smelly poo in the toilet. However, he said he was not the culprit. The incident happened...
He wasn't going with the he who smelt it, dealt it rule?
Which is a legitimate rule.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was him.
In the tradition of blarney.
Yeah.
I don't understand. There's got to be a vent system on an airplane. I mean, for God's sakes, since 1950s, there has been a vent on a bathroom on a bus.
They don't fly, though. And just an important side note.
No, but...
Bus terra firma.
No, I'm well aware of where
should
the buses
not
go.
Gonna go Latin on this one.
Unless you're in that movie Spaceballs.
But you're in a pressurized cabin. There's got to be some sort of a venting.
I think that's what pressurized cabin.
I feel like they keep all of the air in.
But still, yes. Listen,
but I'm thinking
fucktards.
Febreze or an air freshener.
I'm just saying there's got
to
be some sort of a venting way on these goddamn things.
At least one person has a little bit of fabric softener.
Or an old lady with that weird lilac.
Yeah,
spray stuff.
The purse spray. But you know how like you unpack and you've got one fabric softener snuggles the Care Bear skin
right
on your clothes still? Just dig around, people. You can make this work.
They're always on the inside of my jeans.
It's like 10 hours to Dubai. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That always comes out
why,
in the cafeteria.
They're always in pant legs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, apparently the pilot told passengers that the smell was caused by the toilet. He said it was liquid fecal excrement.
Oh, God.
Those are the words that he used.
How's that a technical description? I would like to know.
How's the corned beef, guys?
Oh, seems fine.
It's
not
solid.
Liquid.
It's solid.
The pilot was adamant.
How do you like me now?
That it was not a technical fault with the plane. Just smelled real bad. British Airways apologized for any inconvenience caused, and the flight was rescheduled for Friday.
Friday?
Well, the thing happened on Thursday, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Had to lay over.
I'm like, that's a long time to take a shit.
Yeah. Story written on Sunday. Incident happened on Thursday.
They ate some bad corned beef.
Last week tonight.
Aired out by Friday. Right. Yeah. I can't even imagine. Like, I would be beyond pissed off.
But everybody's like, walked into that situation and then walked out with a person staring at you. And you're like, no. Listen.
You're like... Settle down. That wasn't right. Me.
I would have lit a match and risked...
But then you'd have been arrested by air marshals. Wow. And that's a legitimate problem.
I would rather go down on an air marshal or whatever the phrase is than be accused of leaving the stinky dump in the porta potty.
As long as it wasn't the air marshal from Bridesmaids.
Oh, no, he's all right.
He's all right? No. All right, we'll let him know.
I mean, you're in the middle of the, you know what I mean? You got to get a little something.
Mile High Club, no matter what it takes.
After 1,000 feet, you can't be picky anymore.
Well, we spoke of Cronuts earlier, and so I was inspired to read this particular story. A missing maple bar proved to be the only damage inflicted.
Now, is that what caused the fecal smell? Because it sure sounds like a synonym.
Cronut. The maple bar.
Excuse me. I just passed a Cronut. Stinky Cronut in the bridge.
I don't even know where to go.
That is Blarney.
Workers at the shop on Aurora Avenue in Seattle called 911 about 9:45 p.m. Sunday night. A man was reportedly asked to leave the shop, to which he responded, "This is a robbery," and reached for his waistband to imply he was armed with a gun. The man allegedly ordered everyone to the back of the shop and rummaged about. Meanwhile, hiding employees called 911. Officers found the man matching the suspect's description at a nearby bus stop. They arrested him and booked him into King County Jail for investigation of robbery. The store manager, who reviewed the surveillance footage, advised the cops that the robber had only taken a single maple bar.
Oh.
No.
There you have it.
I know.
I'm going to shoot you. That maple bar.
Sorry, I was a little delayed on that.
Well played, sir. Yeah. Or ma'am. This is a robbery.
The great Cronut caper.
I need a Cronut stat. Everybody in the back. I got nothing. I really had Aaron Shock and something else that I had to delete.
You should look up Sharknado, because Sharknado 3 has someone pretty important in it.
Shut the fuck up,
seriously,
really?
Seriously, look it up.
Well, here, let's have some Sharknado dinner while I look 3. It up. Can you send me a link, for
nope.
fuck's sake?
Just look up Sharknado
asshole.
3.
All right, stand by. Riveting radio, folks.
It is riveting.
It's everywhere.
It should be very, very simple.
Shark, S-H-A-R-K.
The traditional spelling, NATO.
Three, cast.
I'm eating. I can't do all of it.
Tara Reid and Ryan Newman, this is your
and
idea.
And Ian Ziering. Oh, he was in the other two.
Nope.
Tara Reid.
Look up Michelle Bachmann.
Shut the fuck up. Cast, Michelle.
David Hasselhoff is there.
David Hasselhoff.
Oh, we're winning right and left.
Bo Derek plays a role.
And Thump the Nearsighted Manatee.
Sharknado 3 is filming in D.C. today. That's fantastic. So would you like to, do I have to read this?
Well, if you want to.
Do I have to?
You don't have to do anything.
You don't have to do anything.
I'd like a synopsis, please. Yeah, no, I'm too fucking lazy to read the thing.
I looked through 20 people in Sharknado and...
They said Michelle Bachmann is in it.
Let's see. It says, yes, the below photo shows former representative Michelle Bachmann filming a scene.
Former is the key word.
Yeah. In D.C. for the cinematic masterpiece that will be Sharknado.
Does it say cinematic masterpiece?
It does.
I like it.
Yeah. According to the Huffington Post, one of Bachmann's lines includes, I believe they are growing in size. Congress has to take this seriously.
I like how you're reading that.
Fantastic.
But she's playing somebody who's not retired.
It seems as though Sharknado 3 is growing in size with more ridiculous casting. Perhaps Congress has to take this seriously. According to the DC Office of Motion Picture
they
and
take
TV
so
Development,
much seriously.
The production is indeed filming in DC. Unfortunately, the Sharknado 3 production team requested that the exact location and dates of filming can't be shared until after filming has taken place because the crowds will distract the filming.
The throngs of four people.
You know what, though? The internet really did explode with Sharknado.
It's all over.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I've resisted the urge. I've been tempted many times.
I can't. I see clips, and I'm like, I cannot see my sharks degraded in this way.
His, the only rival is Shark Week.
Long lived has been my love of Ian Ziering, of course. Right, of course.
Ian,
who doesn't like the
Ian
awkward...
Ziering?
Fuck him, I don't care.
Is his name Ian?
It is
Ian. He makes that very clear.
He really does. But I still have to say it, Ian.
Didn't he do like a stripper show in Vegas for a while? Didn't he host something like itakemyclothesoff.com?
Sure he did.
Do not look that up.
That sounds right, that he was a special guest dancer in a male...
Review.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I was a male stripper in a go-go bar. Remember that time? I was a male stripper in a go-go bar. It was a real song. It was in the 80s.
All right.
It sounds like the 80s. You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. Different show, maybe?
Different song.
All right.
That much is true.
Same song. That much is true.
Yeah, it was around the same time as I Love a Man in a Uniform. That was by the Units.
Something.
The girls, they love to see you shoot. Honestly, got a true song.
It's a shame we can't pull those up.
Dang it.
Oh, you can. I Love a Man in Uniform is still on iTunes. But the one about I Am a Male Stripper in a Go-Go Bar, that's probably not.
Probably not. I'm going to look it up later.
Yeah, you should.
I'm going to do it now while you're. I'm ignoring your segment.
That up.
It might have been I Was a Male Stripper in a Go-Go Bar. It might have been a song of shame and not pride. He might have was have been.
All right.
If there was an obscure 80s song, let me tell you, I was high and listening to it and singing along.
Tonight in a new segment entitled Obscure 80s Songs.
Right.
We could do a whole lot with that.
Songs that Al thought was a hit, but turned out only in his basement.
Yuck.
Right.
Well,
ma'am.
Sir or ma'am.
However you self-identify.
However you self-identify.
Right. Were you saying...
Was it wrong that I was more about the meat than I was about the potatoes?
No. I didn't put any...
How did you feel about the bass?
I'm all about the bass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Are we supposed to be listening to you? I'm sending you shit.
Oh. Is there something
because I have to do your damn job.
Fuck
and then how are you sending? I have a few other things. How are you sending it to me?
I don't know. Email.
I should open that.
A tornado of fecal matter.
I feel that these lyrics. Well, you continue on.
Tell me your lyrics, and then we'll go on.
I was a male stripper in a go-go bar.
Oh.
Ladies' night Adonis, working after hours, ripples on my chest, never got a night's rest. I was a male stripper in a go-go bar.
And I think I was pretty much on key and in tune.
A modern-day jack, a jock with an act. Hey, Lolita, touch me, squeeze me, ooh.
Oh.
I was a male stripper in a go-go bar.
I was a male stripper in a go-go bar. I'm not making this up.
Now I'm going to go to YouTube. Carry on.
Yeah.
We're going to get this.
I did enjoy the reading, though.
Yeah. It was.
He's an actor. He's a trained... Blarney actor.
Oh. The group was called Man to Man.
Man to Man, yep.
Christ.
There you have it.
All right.
And you know Tim and I dance around in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well.
I can't even finish that sentence.
Thank God I found the original 12-inch mix. Shut up.
Right up my alley, literally.
Oh, seriously.
Whatever. I'll find lyrics and you can
right
carry
there.
On. Go ahead.
It's fantastic. Well, in case you think people act like assholes around gays only in America, let's go to Paris.
Let's.
Yeah, the Parisians.
In our minds, the Parisians. Paris is where people, love-struck locals and tourists alike, kiss a whole lot. You can hardly take two steps down a rue or a Grand Boulevard without seeing a couple smooching, often in the middle of the pavement. Carrie and Mr. Big, Big Kiss, final episode of Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. Jack Nicholson and Diane Keaton kissing outside a hotel and Something's Gotta Give. All kinds of famous kisses happen in
Princess Diana Perry. And the
oh, right.
Paramedic.
Paramedic?
Oh, that's bad. Oh, God. Wait a minute. Blarney. I needed to find my belt for that one.
If you ever wonder at the point when the story gets shit on, that was it.
Whoop, my
there yeah, it was.
I'm
however.
With, I'm with Jenny / Edith. Yaz. Totally. It sounds like Yaz.
It does a little bit.
However, it seems that not all kissers are equal in the land of liberté. A train guard from a major railway company has been suspended after allegedly shouting at a lesbian couple that their farewell embrace cannot be tolerated.
Oh.
He went on to tell the... I love that comes when I've started the next sentence.
Yeah.
Like that.
Hey, we're timing. I'm busy.
We're on a delay for Nero.
That's right.
Nero.
It's 4 a.m. there. He needs a minute to get ready.
Timing. Oh.
Actually, you know, you can always cue me. If you just tell me give me a cue when I when
you just
wanna...
point at him. You just see what comes out.
You never know.
Oh, you went out?
Well, none
well,
of
you
that
promised.
That did not work very well.
I didn't know we were going online that quick. God damn it.
You just point at me, but later.
Yeah. Not now.
You point and I'll get to it.
I'm really
sometime.
I'm really quite tired.
At some point.
It could be now. It could be 10 minutes from now.
Actually, I'm going to go back to eating. You read right. Your story.
Yeah.
Enjoy your snack.
I am.
Nope.
A train guard from a major railway company. Stop pointing at him.
Is it the Atchison, Topeka, or the Santa Fe? None of them.
Oh.
It is not the Santa Fe.
Didn't work.
I know that show. Sure I know that work. Movie. What is that movie? The Harvey Girls?
The Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe.
Is that the Harvey Girls?
Pardon me, boys. Is that the Chattanooga Choo Choo?
No.
Oh, that's also, I think it's from the Harvey Girls.
None of it works.
More.
Can you show me the way to Santa Fe is from Newsies?
Yeah. And Santa Fe is from Rent.
Nobody points and he does it. This is good. You don't know. You don't know. It's every now and again. It's random.
Don't make eye contact.
Go ahead.
I try not to.
Nope. Nothing.
A train guard.
I don't want to miss out on a group sigh.
I know, right? Can't be done.
Go ahead.
All you have to do is read your words.
I know.
Choose your words.
A train guard from a major railway company has been suspended after allegedly shouting at a lesbian couple that their farewell embrace cannot be tolerated.
Oh, I'm doing something else. Sorry, I'm suffering.
Our sound guy.
Seriously, fire him.
Smoking Blarney. That's all I got
to
say.
He went on to tell the astonished and humiliated pair that it would have been fine for heterosexual couples to kiss, but not for you dirty dykes.
You dirty dykes.
Now, campaigners have insisted that the company, Thales International, a French, Belgian, German, and Dutch rail consortium.
Did you say Thales or Phallus?
Thales.
All right, then.
With a...
Yeah, keep it in your pants.
Yeah, not a...
Keep it in your pants, Blarney.
Nothing. Doesn't matter.
Point at him, that's no good.
Nothing.
Phallus International is a French, Belgian, German, and Dutch rail consortium that has featured... Here's the kicker. Has featured a same-sex couple in advertising campaigns...
But not dirty dykes.
But not the dirty
you
dykes.
You dirty dykes.
Dirty dykes.
One of the women on the receiving end of the homophobic rant.
Or the tongue, depending on where you are.
The receiving end.
Yeah, the one that was getting it.
There you have it.
Yep.
Atta girl.
Miriam is her name. She's 35 years old and is from Amsterdam. And it happens to be a member of the organization called All Out.
I was waiting. That's what I was busy queuing. I'm terribly sorry.
And you were so quick about it.
I need to just isolate that as a soundbite is what I need to do. But
oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So her gay rights organization is all mad at the train station and the train company saying, oh, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't have said that. And you shouldn't, put the gays out there in your advertising if you don't really mean it. So clearly the company has apologized profusely. A spokeswoman for Thales confirmed the homophobic incident and said a member of the staff has been suspended pending a full investigation. As soon as we received the complaint, we started a preliminary investigation.
Of course you did.
Yeah. On Saturday, the organization All Out has been busy. They've gotten 60,000 people to sign a petition calling for Thales to be sanctioned for their actions and in singling out this lesbian couple for kissing.
Asshole.
And yeah. I mean, I thought the Parisians were just...
I thought they were pretty open about it, yeah.
Please, these people like fuck for a living.
I think
No, that's prostitutes. No. I mean, not Parisians.
Oh.
Totally different.
Tomato. Yeah. And that's for $50. She'll sing that.
Well, not now.
No, not anymore.
Yeah.
Similar, but
now
different.
Is Roger Goodell the head of Thales? I'm just wondering if you know. Now we're going to look into it, and you know they're doing.
I'll do some more research.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So homophobia alive and well in La Gay Paris.
Yeah, that's just an odd place to get it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying.
According to you, a minute.
Is that what you meant, Al?
In the butt.
In the butt, Bob.
Mm-hmm. It might be otter. By an otter.
Mm.
With an otter.
Well.
in a house.
It was kind of like
with
when
a
I,
mouse
in a car, in a bar,
in your
on a train or yeah. in the rain with a goat.
I saw,
on a boat.
On a boat.
I saw.
Like well, to float.
I saw Rent. Not the first time I saw it, but like second time I saw it.
Was it 525,600 minutes ago?
Later, yeah. After that, it was like 525,600 minutes later for the first time I saw it. And I'm sitting in a theater, and it's like act two. So we're like a good hour and 10 minutes into homo land of like every shape or color. And, you know, we're in New York. We're in the shitty Nederlander theater. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the girls start doing Take Me or Leave Me. And this person behind me is, I was like, lesbians? And I'm like,
have you not seen the show?
And I seriously turned like, here now? Really? Right. Like, you're going to have a problem with gays this far into this show? Like,
now you have the problem when it's the lesbians?
Yeah. Who were kind of busy in the first act, too, but it was just the weirdest reaction to, like, did you just wake up? Like, have you been asleep?
Sure.
I mean, that's a thing. That could be.
But I'm just always. It always weirds me out when, like, you're in a place where you're not expecting any kind of homophobia. And
always
it just,
shocked
and it
by the
rears
misplaced.
Its ugly head, and you're like, you do know where you live, right? Like, the old joke about somebody saying, oh, I wish there was an island where they could take all the gays and, like, put them there, and they're like, you're on it. It's called Manhattan.
Right?
It's an old joke, but it's still funny.
It's good.
It is funny. I loved it.
Larny.
I loved it. All right. Moving along to a study that I found interesting, but pretty well documented by me.
Okay.
Bad news ahead for the American workforce. Its millennial generation is flunking the basics. Americans born after 1980 are lagging their peers in countries ranging from Australia to Estonia, according to a new report from researchers. The study looked at scores for literacy and math. And found that Americans not so good at it.
No,
not so good at it.
Have you ever watched somebody go through math anxiety?
Every
yes.
time I try to add.
Okay, because now I pay attention to that blarney, and I gotta tell you, that's some fucked up shit. Mm-hmm. When you watch someone have to do simple math,
mm-hmm. I had to.
They start to sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, no, it's bad. Some years ago, a friend of mine was up for a promotion and had to do some continuing education at whatever she was doing, blah, 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 and had to take some really basic math, like Algebra 1, and and there was, like, some fraction things happening.
I'd lose my mind.
And she would call me in a panic. Like, yeah. I would just be in the car on my way to work, or I'd be, you know.
Algebra 1 is not beginning math. Basic math.
I would agree with you.
I dropped. I could not wrap my head around
it's
it.
It's like basic math, too, then. I mean, it's pretty low on
the scale. It's really low,
it's
on, the
low on the scale.
Like, yeah, nope. They're teaching it to third graders now.
I know they are now.
It's.
I'm just telling you, no.
The dress is originally $8. It's on sale for 50% off. How much is the dress? That's Algebra 1.
Yeah.
That's algebra?
Yeah, that's all algebra is.
I just thought that was simple ciphering.
You use everyday math. You use everyday algebra almost every day in your life.
Well, I took intro to algebra, I was like, fuck you people, I'm out of here.
Because it's using symbols, because no one ever did the analogy of like, you use it to shop. If it's a 30% off sale and it was $9, how much is the dress?
My algebra teacher looked at me and said, Marnie, let's say you want to build a bridge. And I said, let's say you don't want to drive over that bridge.
Yeah.
You don't want, but they equated it to that.
Love and bridge.
But that's all you have to.
Between your heart and mine. And still funny. It's been like a month.
Yeah, that's been a while.
No, she's been dead a couple years.
Yeah. Poor thing. Three, I think, is it?
Yeah.
Finger on the pulse.
Yeah, where's Ray J?
Finger on the pulse. It's just getting weaker and weaker after 3 years.
The pulse.
But the point of my anecdote was
the
that my
water.
Yeah, my friend, grown ass adult, professional job, you know, a skilled job, saves people's lives for a living and had to do some continuing education that involved fractions.
I would lose my mind.
And panicked on a regular basis. It was 3 months of pure, like, torture and entertainment, because clearly I didn't.
You were entertained.
I was highly entertained the whole time.
Sure.
I was like, are you kidding, dummy?
Nope.
And
you
would have
call me a dummy anytime you want, because I would freak out.
No, well, it wasn't you. If it was you, I'd have just said, Marnie.
As if they're synonymous. I'll help you with that, man.
Blarney.
Both into me.
I'd have called you out if you were the person in this story, for crying out loud.
Well, that pisses me off. Now I'm mad.
But I'd have called you out.
Math happens in my job.
Right,
a
right.
lot,
a fair amount,
and there's a lot of
bag.
There's a lot of math that goes into it, and if you're doing anything mm-hmm. with children, you can't. You have to get 100% on any math mm-hmm. test that they give you,
sure,
because you're dosing for children,
sure. right?
Sure. So you can't not you can't
you can't
panic
screw
on math.
That up by 10% because right. dead kid,
dead kid.
Right,
that's why I'm in social work.
So I mean, but
I
it's
mean,
it's funny.
Frowned upon.
So recently we've been doing.
They don't look to me for that.
Just the way this week has gone, there's been a lot of like math talk of like. Stuff that to me is adding and we're not even in algebra, we're like adding and subtracting and like, okay, this is running at 14 and the high number is 20, so we only have a variance of 6,
right?
And the girl that I was working with started to just openly sweat. Oh. And I'm like, now it's 12 and 22, so now we have a variance of 10. And she was
oh my god.
And I'm like,
right,
okay, settle down. 12 and 20, that's not tough.
Well, and, like, I mean, and then people will be
subtract,
like okay,
but yeah. I'm just telling you, algebra, I get a different picture, like what you're talking about. No, huh? Fuck that. I had to have a tutor. I went through, I'm not kidding.
I did. I saw it. I saw it when I went back to school because, you know, they took a lot of my high school stuff, thankfully, mm-hmm. when I went back to school for like math and chemistry. But I went and you could test out of it. And I went and sat down a test and I'm like, I don't know what the fucking integer is.
Right.
So I failed the test because I was like, I don't know what these words mean. And then
because you do it really practically.
Then I went, sat down, and I did the math test, and I got like 100%. They're like, how did you fail that one? I'm like, I don't know what the word integer means. Like, what sure. the fuck is that?
It means number.
It means number.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know what to sure. those is an integer.
Integers are your counting numbers.
Like, is it inner or is it outer? Three, right. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, I don't walk around and be like, oh, how many integers are you? Like, what the fuck?
Gazinta. Gazinta. What a funny word.
Offer a number.
Would you like me to tell you in integers or would you like me to tell you in...
I would like you to stop talking.
GMT?
I need you to just shut up for a minute because you're killing
how many
me.
Fingers in my hand. Yeah.
Those are digits.
Yeah. It's different, though. It's different if Stacy plays, though.
That's a fraction.
How many fingers is a diabetic holding up?
I was making that joke 2 weeks ago. I'm like, he's out on the street corner waving 4 fingers at anybody that walks by.
Right.
No, I totally agree, though, with your example with the girl from work. Like, I had to try and teach some girl how to make change one day. Mm-hmm. And, like, the sheer panic that was on her face and the fact that she could not understand, okay, well, you have to make the next dollar, and then you make the next 5, and then you make the next increment up, like, however high you have to go, sure. you know. And everybody in this room has been in the bar industry, so they clearly understand how to make change, because otherwise you flunk out of the bar industry absolutely. Real fast.
Or the people like when you tell them you have to count back the change correctly,
or if you give because them like when you deal with a $10 bill and it's $10.23 and you give them 23 cents, that
or you
them
give
up.
The, or you give them something that's a multiple of 5 so that you don't get pennies back,
oh. mm-hmm.
and you just watch people right. start to like just panic,
yeah. And they're so thankful that they can punch it into the POS system.
Yeah, I watch that. If those odd chances cases that I ever use change like in a drive thru somewhere and it's whatever and it's 67 and I give them 7 cents and they're like, mm-hmm. why are you giving me
why
this?
Why did you do that?
Because you know what you just did?
Punch it in.
You just did algebra.
Oh, but I do that.
You had to figure out how
I just do that in my
no
head.
One has, no one has ever explained to you that that's what you're doing. You're solving for what is the thing that's going to get you something that's not a penny
and
back.
And I just call it addition and subtraction.
Oh, I just, that's the
right,
way I do
but you
math.
Did the leap in your mind that said, if I give you something that has 2 more than 5, I'm going to get 5
yeah.
back.
Yeah, but
and
nobody's
not
saying,
pennies.
Like, if I take a train from.
Right. So you just needed a better teacher that would just give you the analogy
that
that's not a train.
The real world example that works. Money works for some people.
But that's trying to take a word problem and turn it into the number. Numbers, which right. either you get that or you don't.
Right, and I just don't.
Right.
Those. But you're right. When you change it to something else, then I'm like, oh, okay.
Easiest way was Jack and Jill went up the hill, each with $2.50. Jill came down with $5. I don't know how that, that's me, that's math.
And Jack had a scorching case of the clap.
That goes back to prostitution.
And Jack found out why Jill was only charging $20. Because she had a burning sensation that was called Blarney in Ireland.
Well...
Oh, it's really more of a grown-up story by the time I'm done with it.
But it's still math.
When they went up, it was a story for children. When they went down, not so much.
That's kind of how it goes, Cheyenne.
What were you talking about?
Well, as it turns out, people in this country who are born after the year 1980, so those say 22 to 35,
you.
I can't remember the name of the organization, but they did a study and they found out that half of American millennials, those 22 to 35 year olds, scored below the minimum standard of literacy proficiency. Only two countries scored worse than us, Italy and Spain. Even worse are the scores for number, in which almost two-thirds of American millennials failed to meet the minimum standard for understanding and working with numbers.
Okay.
These are people that are graduating from college in the highest numbers ever. They're the people that have now exceeded the baby boomers in population. And they're the people that are going to be taking care of us when we are old.
That's right.
I'll be dead.
Yeah. So 50%, that's like half.
Half, yeah. If I'm understanding you correctly,
if I'm hearing you,
half those people are whores.
Is one named Jill?
Yeah, and the other half have a scorching case of herpes.
Well, they're saying that when 2 weeks ago, I was talking about how Whiskey Row went black, like from the internet and all of that. They couldn't, the internet went down, and so no one knew. Everything requires the edge system, right?
The point of sales, all require internet.
Everything has that. You have the ATMs. If it's a cash only place, but the ATM is down, I mean, sure. There's all kinds of. Right. So the place,
what's Whiskey
went,
Row?
Up in Prescott.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And so it was just kind of crazy, and it was mainly the millennials that were like,
the sheer panic.
I don't, what do you mean write it down? What do you mean and go and I don't understand.
My point of sale goes down and I go, oh, fuck.
Yep.
First of all, I got to figure out how to get this cash drawer open. I don't remember where they hide the stupid fucking button.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And there's, I can never
keys.
Find the
key. We give the owners keys and they never know where the fuck the keys
are.
The
owners are assholes.
No one ever knows where the keys are.
You have those things and then now they're saying
it doesn't matter what it's to. Nobody knows where the keys are.
My issue is how do I get to the cash?
Right, absolutely.
And the millennials' issues are... I don't know how to make change.
Right. Yeah. Well, and the millennials on the other side of the bar are like,
beers
what's
are $6. Cash? What do I do if they give me a 20?
Yeah. What is cash? You know what? No. I'm so far removed from the efectivo, as they say in Mexico. I honestly don't have it anymore.
No.
So I'm so not used to it. So when I open up my wallet and there's a couple bucks there, I'm like, oh my God, I can tip someone in cash.
Right. Absolutely. I agree.
I act like I just found Jesus and a clown in my wallet.
Yeah.
Jesus for the delicious egg/nuts, depending on how you translate the Aramaic.
Well, and they're saying now that millennials don't want to even learn how to drive. They don't want to do anything because they're
lazy fuckers.
No, because of the transit system. Like they don't have to. They're talking about the car, the economy.
You know,
and that's
a whole different issue. I can definitely understand. You know, the 20-something who is probably still living at home with mom, doesn't want to deal with the maintenance of the car. I mean, they're basically Al with no money, so they don't want to maintain it.
It's not a bad place to be.
That is good.
So if you can like
not
justify
at
it,
all.
If you can justify it, and now with services like Uber and light rails and buses and things and bicycles, like you can, I'm going to have to do the math on it. I'll have to do a little algebra.
Please.
I'm going to do a little algebra.
I'm going to
figure out what it would cost me to get rid of my car and still get to work and get to the places that I go.
How can you get rid of your car if you make money other ways with your car?
Well, that's a whole different thing. I'll just go with my bar job.
Okay.
Right. No, for me specifically, that wouldn't work out because I actually make money in that car.
Right.
Not like that.
Yeah.
That's what we're getting.
Whoa.
The Blarney position is extra.
The van is rocking. Don't be lying.
I like it.
Wait,
she's facing. If she's facing the stone.
Well, do you agree, Anant?
Well, you know what I mean. Somebody that lives less than somebody that lives less than 10 miles from work.
Right.
You
check.
Know, right. Bikes to a lot of places socially.
Check.
Has other friends that might be willing to come pick them up.
Checkish.
Occasionally. Right. Like you could. I could definitely
but
see
the caveat to that is, but also happy to stay at home on his couch.
Right.
And watch the world go by. Like, oh, there goes another car.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, there goes another car.
Like, the other day, I was driving Uber, and American Express has a really big complex up in Scottsdale, kind of near where I live. Mm-hmm. And I did, honest to God, like five in a row, just kind of shuttled back and forth between American Express and this one apartment complex. Each ride, only like $5 for the guys. Bing, bing, bing. So I'm like, okay, $10 a day. I go to work, what, 20 days a month. That's $200. That's already $150 less than my current car payment.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and then I don't have to buy gas. I don't have to do any maintenance. So that's saving me
no
additional
car
money.
Insurance.
Right.
Sure.
No upkeep. And that's what I'm like, if I only have to work my job 12 days
that's
a month.
True, mm-hmm. Paris.
Like I only work 36 hours a
right,
week.
Sure.
It's 12. It's literally 12 days.
Three
a month.
12.
Literally.
Right. Yeah.
12 days a month. The bus fare, and they would pay for my bus fare. It's called
some sort of ride sharing.
Yeah, it's
program,
got a ride sharing program. They would pay my bus fare for the month, and it's two. It's 15th Avenue to McDowell over. Like, mm-hmm. if I was ever on the internet, which I never am, and Googled, like, how do I get from my house to on those? What time do those two buses meet up in the middle?
Right.
It would cost me no money to get to work mm-hmm. whatsoever, and it would be probably maybe 10 minutes longer than my travel time now if I did it right, because they're not driving anywhere. Like, they're going to drive down the street and make the same left turn I am.
Right.
I'm just going to have to cross that one street. And it's a pretty big fucking hospital, so guess what? We got our own bus stop. We're all kinds of fancy.
Wow. I just want to answer Nant up there. No, I don't know what a logarithm is. I do not, and I feel like an idiot, but I don't. I have
you mean an
no idea.
An algorithm?
No, you no, said logarithm. How to use no, a logarithm. I don't.
I don't either.
If I thought about you, it really hard, I'd have to look it up, but I could use logs too.
And I'm going to tell you, I don't even know. I wouldn't know where to start. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
It's been so long since I took anything.
It's not even on. Oh, wait.
Oh, it's a math thing. Right?
It's definitely a math thing. Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Logarithm is like sines and cosines and all that stuff. And the logarithm, yeah.
Already
an algorithm
interest.
Is
like a whole table.
An algorithm is when you have a set way to do something. If you're following an algorithm, then you follow the set way to do something.
Everybody follows algorithms all the time.
All the
how
time.
To make toast. How insert bread. Push down button.
There's your algorithm.
Wait, enjoy.
Place
how
butter,
to make pop tarts.
Put butter jam. On it. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of other things.
Whatever your habit, whatever your
right. That I could do.
Yeah,
not
that's
logarithm.
That's
an algorithm, not a logarithm.
Like I said, I could do that.
Different. But yeah, according to this study, our next generation pretty dumb and real far behind the rest of the world.
But if you're
so
right.
Yes, Anant, we are.
But then and again, Harrison points out we're talking about American millennials because. The millennials in almost every other country
are
way
doing
ahead
amazingly.
Of ours.
Yeah, they're basically the baby boomers.
They're actually doing these surveys showing that we're idiots.
Right, they're the ones conducting their surveys. Because
trigonometry, I have no idea. I just got through basic algebra. Like, that's all I had to get through. He's saying that's trigonometry. And
yeah.
That's fine.
Anant, I loved math and took, like, crazy stupid calculuses because they were fun. Not even because I needed to.
Yeah.
He's talking about tangents.
Sines,
I go on
cosines,
tangents,
and tangents
all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
no. Different.
Oh, okay.
Totally different.
Okay, I just
synonyms.
Said,
no. The danger. No, homonyms.
Homonyms. Danger of homonyms.
Danger of homonyms.
Tangents. Much different.
Sorry, just wanted to make sure. Not all.
Yeah.
Learning.
Good times.
So there it is. That's my whole segment.
That's it.
That's all I had. I feel like I've stretched that fucker out for
anything,
a long time.
Anybody else want to bring up that stuff. We haven't talked about tonight that you wanted to before we get into our final segment?
Is there anything from the listeners that they want to comment on? I hate to say that I have not
Did you guys see the gal on the news that had the big news of the penis collar?
The what?
Oh my god, how did we not talk about the penis transplant?
Huh?
How did we not talk about
it? I just heard about that. Was it real?
Yeah, I think that was real.
I didn't think it was real.
That story's growing.
By the minute.
Doctors perform first successful penis transplant. NBC or CBS News. Must be a thing.
Well, if the Tiffany Network is reporting it, we know it must be valid.
Skip this ad. Yeah, surgeons in South Africa say they performed the world's first successful penis transplant. The nine-hour operation carried out by a team of doctors.
9 hours.
Took place on December 11th, 2014, but was not publicly announced until this month while doctors waited to see how the patient would recover. Now fully convalesced, and no, that's not a dirty thing. The hospital says the patient has regained all urinary, reproductive, and sexual functions of his new penis. This came as a surprise to doctors who expected him to take at least 2 years to recover.
And the guy who got the new penis, it's a surprise to him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Woke up one morning and was like,
whoa, what's going on here?
What happened there?
Happy birthday, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I'm with you, Harrison.
Haven't seen you for a few years. Oh. Welcome back, buddy.
I'm still waiting for my Ruth Bader Ginsburg action doll.
Yeah.
They made them. They made them in Lego form.
Oh, that's I did see the Lego
ones. Did you see the Lego ones?
I loved that.
Yeah, I wanted to order them for you, but then I was like,
I wanted to just bring up to Harrison that I did all of headlines completely paper-free. Harrison made a big deal out of paper-free For me, and I did headlines completely paper.
Oh, oh, very good.
Hey.
Yeah, me berating you for 3 years didn't do a fucking thing, but she says something.
Harrison types one little line up there.
No, because I was trying, and she said to do something on the computer.
The notes.
So, but I never listened to you. I mean, if you said that, but...
Right. What would we do that for?
Bye, Jenny.
Bye, Jenny.
My goodness gracious.
God.
That's all.
Damn.
That's
cunts.
All.
Blarney.
Cunts. Nope, that's Marnie.
Is that an Irish cunt?
That's funny.
Be afraid.
Oh, my goodness. The penis transplant guy botched circumcision.
Ouch.
Gross.
That's
first off, don't do
don't
it.
Do
let's,
it.
Talk, let's talk about that.
We already
no
did.
No more circumcision.
I mean, not today, but we
just
already have.
Stop.
Let it grow. Let it grow.
Yeah.
That's right. All
right. Learn to wash it.
All right. Pulled that one out of my ass, too. Done.
All right.
I don't think you should end a penis transplant story by saying I pulled that one out of my ass, especially for you.
I did that on purpose.
Oh, she's being irate.
Well, look what Nero says. She says the first guy to get a penis transplant was a Chinese guy years ago, but the wife didn't like it, so it was taken off. Also called Arena Bobbit.
We're going to move on, and it's going to sound
a little... You get rid of that now.
Next
you
caller.
Now.
Is the caller there? Poughkeepsie, you're on. Let's hope we get through this segment, shall we?
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Long-time listeners of the show will notice that that is a revamped intro to that segment where we recorded a few weeks back, and Kat was laughing during the opening that he sounds so drunk when he does that.
Oh, wait, that's because he was.
Yeah, right.
There's
me
that.
Too.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we got a couple of them today.
We got plenty of time.
Yeah, we got time. Blarney, if you could invent a new holiday.
Marnie.
So
Weimer Reiner.
I always enjoy a new panelist. Welcome.
Thank you, Kitty Carlisle.
Good luck. Thank you.
If you can invent a new
who
holiday.
Who are you fucking people?
Yeah, I know exactly. She's my favorite Alzheimer's patient. Every day a new adventure.
I know.
If you could invent a new holiday, what would it be?
The Marnie Ryer holiday.
Oh, I like it.
Only because that way maybe once a year you get my fucking name right.
If I got a day off for it, you betcha I'd get that Blarney right.
Oh, fuck. It seems like they have a holiday for everything. Yeah. But do we get the day off?
Right. A real fucking holiday.
None of those fake holidays like Columbus Day.
Like, even I get time and a half for it.
I think there would need to be one in August.
Oh, I agree.
I think there needs to be one in August, and we'll call it Fuck This Shit Summer.
Well, that's only an Arizona thing, though, right?
No.
Yeah.
I've been around in August.
Yeah.
That humidity is pretty miserable.
Yeah, humidity is awful. So, yep. Yep.
Hello, D.
Hi, D.
Hey,
from
hi,
you.
From the UAE.
UAE. D from like the UAE.
Well, he knows your name. Thank God for that.
Yeah, he copied and pasted from the active chat room people.
Kind of.
How do you do that? Is that a skill?
Maybe.
All right, I like yours. You got.
Thanks.
You're ahead so far.
Thanks.
Cat Carlson Memorial Day.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
The memorial.
Next caller.
And what month would that be in?
Well, allegedly, it might be in December.
Oh, I see.
When I was actually born.
So much going on in December already.
I feel like that's true.
Yeah, I feel like it. Yeah.
Maybe it could be like Jesus and his nuts/eggs and pick a different month to be born.
I completely
just
agree
any
with
month?
Harrison, and I was going
he wasn't
to go
born
with
in
that.
December either.
I was going to go with that, Harrison. That's exactly what I was thinking. But then I just thought it would be funny.
I feel like September.
Well, and I don't even know if I work that out, but
I typed in words so they think I'm working. Oh, wait. Speaking of atheists, I almost shit my pants today. I'm busy getting all my...
Were you at Sears?
Shut up.
Kmart. It was Kmart.
Kmart. My bad.
I shit my pants. Oh, I thought you knew some story where
it's
I shit,
so convenient.
Where I shit in some department store.
Wow. Touchy a little bit?
Wow.
About that?
Time out. In the Sears.
Is there such a story?
Well, I was worried that there was.
I'm seeing yes.
I just wrote a preemptive fuck you just in case.
Wow.
But I'm worried that you would believe that you wouldn't remember such a story.
It's true. It's all true. Right. Well, there's it's the famous story impossible. Of me at lunch the one day, and I'm a very messy eater.
I like it, Harrison.
And I was eating beefy nachos with friends and laughing.
Is that what you call it?
I remember this, actually.
I didn't realize what had happened. And then the waiter came to bring me my food, and I reached down to get my napkin out of my lap, and there was like this cheesy meat sauce in my crotch. And I'm like, I didn't realize I was talking out loud, and I'm like, did I just shit my pants? Because I just like, I was unclear as to what was floating around in this saucy cheese in my pants. And like the waiter was just about to hand me food and was like,
oh, boy.
Oh, my God. And everybody at the table was like, is that something that could have just happened that he doesn't know about? But I just looked at my crotch and announced it. I just shit my pants. And it pretty much destroyed a restaurant for service for the rest of the day.
That's fantastic.
Is this not the story when we did, it was on a rehearsal for the Halloween show
out in Ahwatukka?
Yes, I remember that.
Oh, my God. I just shit my pants.
I remember that.
That's Missy terrible. Al, always a classy lady. Oh.
She's a sharter.
But and the best part was Cliff and Mike Fernelli like looking at me like,
oh God,
oh sweetie, you have no personal shame. Oh, did that just happen? I just have to review what I ate that looks like this that's now in my crotch. And whether it fell out of my mouth or shot out of my ass, because I am unsure.
I had not eaten corn.
We have a corn out situation without a recognized corn in.
We're on high alert. Can we land this plane?
We had a corn out situation.
Turn the blade around.
We have a corn out with no discernible end time. So can we back this mother up?
Start again. Oh,
this is one classy show we put on.
We are ready for syndication.
We're rocking.
So I'm hoping your holiday is not going to be called Corn Out. But what holiday would you?
I hope we get KTAR. I feel like we would fit right in over there.
I think they need us.
Well, they've actually buried most all local production and gone just to syndication.
Because their local people were idiots.
Be the best possible version of yourself, Harrison. Definitely lip gloss.
Oh,
about it. I like it.
Wow.
Yeah, we're classy motherfuckers.
We are.
Mercy. Fucking mercy.
I turn my back to scratch my crotch. Let me tell you. That's the kind of deal I make with God.
How is it that you shit out cheese and beans and you found it in your crotch?
It was meat.
Whatever.
Keep your beans to yourself, lady.
But how did you shoot it out?
Deflection can be a crazy thing.
It was just the thing of like, it was the surprise of looking down at my napkin.
I can believe that.
Have you ever spent time with babies? How does it get in their hair?
Another corn situation.
Yeah.
How does it get from here to here? They're just sitting in a chair.
And they're happy about it, somehow.
They don't give a shit.
They don't give a shit.
Clayton McKee, what's your holiday?
I don't even know what to do with
Is
that,
it corn
actually.
In?
It's going to be a maize holiday.
Exactly. Because of the Trail of Tears.
So is that an IKEA holiday?
The Trail of Tears is when you walk away not knowing where the corn in was.
Some people call it masa. We call it maize.
Oh, do you remember those commercials?
Mazzola.
You really felt like you learned something.
Mazzola. Our people
call it
maize.
Our people call it beige. Shut up, lady.
I can't think of another... What would I give a shit about a holiday for? Another one.
National Lawnmower Day.
Oh.
Ooh, now we're talking lawnmowers and vacuums. We might actually get something there.
There you go.
National suck shit up in my leaf blower.
Hoover Day. You could make it all kinds of things.
I like all of these. I like first rain of the year and rainy day holiday because most of us live in the desert or things that are really deserts, but you pretend it's not California.
Typing a word and copying and pasting in the chat room is actually a mission. D from UAE, we are on board. Can you send us a picture of your? Can you post a picture of your office so we can see?
Oh, so I forgot I got lost in the shit my pants story. But the point of it was, as I was watching CNN today, and
welcome back.
When we listen to the playback, we'll find out what the hell how that got interrupted. Ron Reagan Jr.
Oh.
Okay. Now you're all over the fucking
map. No, you just started everybody up.
I started this sentence earlier, but somehow I shit my pants because it's so convenient.
You told me to shut the fuck up.
It probably wasn't.
Probably.
Ron Reagan Jr. is on CNN commercials pushing about atheism and how he's a proud atheist, and he has been all his life, and he wants to get a separation of church and state. It's got to be on YouTube, but find it. They're playing it on CNN all the time now. I was like, do the Republicans know that St. Ronnie's son is blatantly on TV?
I'm doing this.
Aaron, anti-Christian.
Just invited us to Darling Day on Facebook.
Yeah, they're all good.
Shut the fuck up for
June 12th. We'll celebrate.
I fucking love it.
Harrison,
Aaron,
Facebook,
if you were smart, you'd make the first one a Tuesday.
Hello.
Der.
Der. I'm going to do a little bit of math. Dur. Listen, Dur. Blarney Dur. That's your name. Blarney Dur. We'll make it like Thanksgiving. It's the second week of every June, always whatever's on a Tuesday. Just like Thanksgiving.
The second Tuesday. It's like voting day.
It's the second Tuesday of every June.
Monday of June.
Right. It can't be. Yeah, the second Tuesday after the first Monday, whatever that is.
You said that for 3 months straight leading up to the next election.
Because I love that bit of trivia. It's my favorite piece of trivia ever. What's your fucking holiday? Jesus Christ.
I thought I would have gotten out of this.
Suck it Saturday.
Suck it Saturday.
Wow. Is that the same as Hoover?
Wait. I'm getting hate mail in the chat room.
There was what?
It says, for Dr. Ben, link.
Link.
I like it.
Wait. I asked for a picture from the United Arab Emirates, and she says, I'll try, but most probably when everyone has fled. If you need to flee your office, by all means...
A poo situation?
You can listen to us on demand later, but fleeing your office for
That's
safety.
Funny.
Have you met Blarney? What's your holiday?
I don't really have a holiday.
Oh, come on.
I saw that.
Dream big.
This is my hate mail from Nope.
I don't give a fuck. I'm a baby and I'm just going to have to shit.
I saw that.
That's good.
I clicked on it too.
Well, these fuckers wouldn't click on it. So
I did. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the click. Holiday. What? Something that's not celebrated. I'm trying to think of. We celebrate everything. Jesus Christ, we celebrate everything. We walk. We celebrate. We have breast cancer. We celebrate. We have.
I don't know if we celebrate.
Celebrate. There's a holiday. There's a day. Or not even a holiday, but it's a weekend. Yeah, a thing.
An event.
An event.
Yeah, yeah. You can make it George Michael gets caught giving up his 500th blowjob in a park day.
I do kind of like the idea of the vacuum holiday. I kind of keep focusing on that.
There's an
Hoover Day. Hoover Day.
Oh, we can't give it to a specific brand.
Well, because of Kirby.
Right.
I mean, there's all kinds.
Well, there's Electrolux.
The Dyson Ball brand.
Filter Queen.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of Rainbow. There's a lot of different brands.
How about the Suck with Power Day?
And that could go for lots of things.
Well.
Yeah.
And she's open to business for everyone. Yeah, so I think
right around Gay Pride
we got a winner.
Good call.
All right, what month? For vacuum day. What month do you most enjoy?
Well, I think it would be a spring. I think it had to be in the spring. Or it could be an autumnal.
April.
Because
September.
You
want to...
April and September are both holiday free. No.
No,
yes.
We have Labor Day and
Labor
my birthday
day,
in September. And Marnie's birthday.
April.
No, my bad. Yours in November.
April is holiday free then.
Except for Easter.
That's not a holiday.
And it all depends.
It always falls on a Sunday to make sure that it's
not
necessarily always
in April.
They always
We're looking for weekday holidays?
Right, I want a day off. Yeah.
I want a day off.
That's why they can't fuck around and the Easter always has to be on a Sunday. Because 3 days from Friday, do the math again with the Catholic Church. 3 days from Friday is not Sunday.
It's Monday.
Right. But he rose 3 days later and the Good Friday's when he died. Do the math. 3 days later is not a Sunday.
Monday, Thursday.
It's the Last Supper.
Monday, Thursday, he was shoved into that hole, and then...
But then what's he the whole was point stolen. Of the Friday?
Good Friday
is when he died on the cross.
I'm just making shit up right now.
What does it mean?
I'm just making shit up.
He was shoved in that cave, and then he was stolen with an Xbox and then dumped out a window of a car as they drove down the street.
I like it, because he was not cocaine. But,
and then he was made in delicious Reese's peanut butter filled eggs.
I like
that. No, so the thing about... Yeah. I just found this out about Maundy Thursday. Yeah. That's another pagan thing, and it goes along with... a seasonal thing of best when used by date. So what you're supposed to do is on Monday, Thursday, is you use all of your... You empty your cabinets of all of the flours, grain products, sugars, and all that stuff. So that's why it's all about baking, because everything expires that day. Everything's good for like a year on a shelf.
I have never heard that.
So on Monday, Thursday, that's why you make the pancakes, you make the breads, you do all your baking on Monday, Thursday... And it's a pagan thing to.
I've never heard.
That's
that.
The year that you get rid of all the grains and everything, okay. To clear out your cupboards.
You're not making that up.
Nope, that's what Monday Thursday is all about. It's a pagan thing.
I've never heard of this before in my life.
Because I used to ask. Like I said, we were Methodist white people an Italian Catholic.
Sure.
Neighborhood, so we all like we do St. Joseph's table in my family. I don't know what the fuck St. Joseph did or why they have all the delicious bread, but Maundy Thursday was something that we always did, and we always had pancakes.
That's interesting.
And so finally, I asked a Catholic. I'm like, "What the fuck?" And they were like,
"I asked a Catholic."
The Catholic didn't know, but the person that explained like why Easter moves because it's based on a planting holiday. Okay. Good Friday is the first.
That I have heard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the first. Good Friday has to be the first Friday after. The first full moon after the equinox.
See, now this sounds like algebra. Planting. That's all algebra to me.
Right, but that's why it changes every year, because Good Friday has to fall on the first Friday after the full moon after the spring equinox. That's why it can be so late or so early.
Okay.
Because it's based on a pagan ritual. It's not based on when he died, because it's too religious to make it a national holiday. So we have to go with how the church originally did it.
Okay.
And that's why 3 days after he died is not... Sunday, but it has to fall on a Sunday so no one can make it a religious holiday to have Easter off.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, there's all these rules about trying to keep separation of church and state. That's all bullshit. Mine would be...
I thought we were going to get to this.
...similar to yours and is like, it's too fucking hot to care August day.
Let me out. On a Wednesday. Do it on a Wednesday. Because you want the day off.
But why?
You said.
Because the club right. But
I would rather have it on a Friday or a Monday to offer my condolences to those who it's too fucking hot for. So somebody gets because I think holidays should make everything a 3 day weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I like sometime in August, early August. You're pretty much sick of everyone you know or love.
I think mid
August.
Don't you?
August 3rd. No, because Labor Day is coming up in a couple of weeks.
That's a good call.
We just got to get a little break between 4th of July and Labor Day. Okay. And it's called It's Just Too Fucking Hot and Muggy and I'm Gonna Kill You If You Talk to Me Again. Day.
Day. Blarney, except
can we make that an acronym
of
something? J-T-F-H.
W-W.
Wait, near... Cambodia has like a ridiculous amount of national holidays, most of any countries. We're the only... I think we're the only first world country that doesn't have a bank holiday every month of the year.
Yeah.
Canada makes shit up to make sure that every year, because Canadians especially That's do not true. Understand why we are August and March free of holidays in October. They don't get it because they have stupid holidays all the fucking time. Blah, okay. blah, blah day. I like that one.
Hang
too.
Hang on. No, her links are good. Sorry, Charlie Day, as it turns out, is observed always on April 6th. And the description says, have you ever been rejected for anything? Sure you have. We all have. Sorry, Charlie Day is for all of us who have been spurned and yet somehow survived it. Take a minute today and reflect upon past dejection. Then smile with the realization that shit happens to all of us.
Has nothing to do with Star-Kissed Tuna. Sorry, Charlie.
Sorry, Charlie.
Sorry, Charlie.
Nope, no.
I like that holiday, but if she could just move it to August. We have April here is really quite pleasant.
Sorry, you're sorry,
right.
Charlie.
All right,
we got just a couple minutes left.
Real quick follow-up. There was a fun question in here somewhere. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Wait. Okay.
I'm back again.
Where's your favorite spot in your house? This is off a website, and I think this question's kind of fun.
My backyard.
Okay.
Does it have to be in my house?
No.
Yeah,
my backyard. Of your environs, if you will.
Mm-hmm. That's where, if I could, I would spend all my time. But I'd,
Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Kitchen's the center of the house.
There's a song called "I'm Always in the Kitchen at Parties." Look that up.
That's
too. It's
true.
A fun song.
I'm not looking at it right now. So true.
And it's
my workshop, mm-hmm. totally, because I just it's a whole my own world. It's not influenced by TV or anything else. It's not work, like computer work. It's just I'm out there tinkering and doing my own thing. So yeah, my in-home workshop.
Mine is that behind the door space where I have to sit up.
Okay.
The little and I can lay down there if need be, but it's the place where I have to sit up and I can peek out the window and like stare at the neighbors and like watch the TV and
wow.
I just love sitting there and I can read my book. Like if I close the blinds, I can read my book and like keep my Kindle or whatever the fuck this thing's called.
Sure.
iPad.
My iPad.
You like read Kindle on.
Yeah. Oh. I just love because the breeze comes through and it's nice.
What'd you find the song? Oh, she found something.
I'm always in the kitchen at parties.
Well, yeah, what's your thing up?
Another obscure 80s song that only I know.
It's fantastic.
You should dance around in that one, too.
It looks yeah. fantastic.
Yeah, because if it has to be in the house, I would say the kitchen as
but
well.
But isn't ooh. That funny, though, that if you, every party you're at, yeah. eventually you're all just standing in the kitchen?
Yeah.
I mean, that was always the way it was with us back yeah. home. Mm-hmm. Always. Yep. Yesma'am.com.
Circle your way around it. I like it.
I love that in this video they're using the like the lead pipe microphones. From the
80s? In fucking August.
You know how Bag they're all is, like straight
oh,
tubes?
Oh, right, right, yeah. right.
Bag of Nope is really upset that we went in August.
It's in fucking August.
She don't like the hot.
No.
How would you be allowed to kill? I already talked about wanting my own purge day. I don't know if I would do it, but...
If people, other people were purge... Oh, wait. Like purging, cleaning out stuff, or like...
No, like the purge.
Oh, no.
Oh, Nero, have you ever met me in person? I'm the biggest pacifist in the world. Like, I get nauseous watching boxing matches. So all these things are just stupid things I say.
No. Oh, and Nero, as far as living in a studio, I'm totally with you. Like, the idea of, like, it's just comfortable and compact and, you know, it's all your favorite.
Alrighty, kids, we've done it again. We've wasted 3 hours of our time and yours producing a show that is listened to by bunches and bunches of people
Tens
around the
of
world.
People.
Thank you for joining us. We'll be back again next Tuesday. Same bat time, same bat channel. But before we leave you... We will leave you with this wonderful, warming thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!
Thank you!
Have a great night, guys.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.